as well as the other films that we've been talking about. And thank you for giving me part of your day. Remember, tomorrow really does matter. Tell a friend and stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. There isn't much good economic news lately.
Dollar was weaker today. Commodity prices came off a little bit, but the dollar continued to fall. So there were a lot of sources of bad news, none of them really encouraging, and the market just sold off through most of the day.
Investment analyst Michael Farr on the Dow's plunge off 315 points at 12,266. The fight over those fired federal prosecutors continues. Attorney General Michael Mukasey is refusing to send a federal grand jury contempt citations against White House Chief of Staff Josh Bolton and former White House counsel Harriet Myers. The House voted yesterday to hold Bolton and Myers in contempt for failing to testify and refusing to hand over documents related to the firings. A federal judge ruled today the Pentagon can require troops to be vaccinated against anthrax. She dismissed a lawsuit by military officials who claim the drug is unproven and should be optional. Officials in Las Vegas say the man found in a motel room with the deadly toxin ricin is in critical condition. As for the police who arrived on the scene, Deputy Chief Kathy Suey.
No one else has experienced any signs or symptoms of any type of exposure.
KXNT reporter Kristen Flowers on the many questions still unanswered.
This is an ongoing investigation. They have no idea if he was manufacturing ricin, if he brought it into the hotel, if it was there before he even got there. They're saying at this time that it is not connected with any terrorist activity.
6 years after the U.S. invasion, a new report claims Afghanistan is still producing 93% of the world's opium poppy.
Officials say record illegal drug production in Afghanistan is supplying the Taliban with money and arms, and they say the U.S. should take prompt, direct action against poppy growers. Assistant Secretary of State David Johnson.
Poppy production soared in the southern provinces where the insurgency is strong. There's incontrovertible evidence that the Taliban used drug trafficking proceeds to fund insurgent activities.
State Department experts say the Taliban gives protection to opium growers and traffickers in Afghanistan, which they say grew 93% of the world's opium poppy last year. Sam Litzinger, CBS News, Washington.
Virginia's Supreme Court has upheld the nation's first felony conviction of a spammer, Attorney General Bob McDonald.
We are delighted that the court has upheld this ability of a state to criminalize the false commercial spam practices of people who send those out for the purposes of making money and clogging the Internet.
Jeremy James, once considered one of the world's top spammers, called Virginia's anti-spamming law a violation of his free speech rights. When you go to spend a gift card and your purchase doesn't quite equal the amount on the card, should you get the rest in cash?
Consumers are left with the choice between losing that value in the card or spending more money in order to get it out.
Representative Deborah Simpson of Maine, the latest state to consider requiring stores give you the difference in cash if it's $5 or less. This is CBS News.
Hi, Mom.
What's all this?
I got you a cell phone, the Coop from Verizon Wireless. Check it out. It's got a big keypad, easy-to-read screen, plus dedicated buttons for emergency contacts. It's everything you need.
Great. But what's with the 4 zillion people?
Oh, that's the network. They come with it.
Hi.
Good to meet you. Hey, how you doing?
Good afternoon.
Welcome.
Hola.
Say hello to the Coop, backed by the Good Housekeeping Seal. Exclusively from America's most reliable wireless network, Verizon Wireless. Call 1-800-2-JOIN-IN today.
Jackson, go tell Brinkman to speed things up on the job site.
That's a long way, boss, but I'm on my way. Message delivered, sir.
One more thing. Run back and tell him that...
We really need Nextel Direct Connect. Oh, I think I pulled a hammy.
Connect at the touch of a button with Nextel Direct Connect from Sprint. Get the rugged new i570 by Motorola. Just $69.99 for your business accounts. Visit Sprint.com/Nextel or call 1-800-SPRINT-1. Sprint, ends 4-1908. Excludes taxes. Subject to two-year agreement. Up to $36 activation, $200 early termination fees. Credit approval and deposit. Available corporate liable activations and eligible upgrades only. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
What caused the lights to go out this week in South Florida?
During the blackout, the utilities president said nothing had been ruled out, including human error. Now Florida Power and Light blames a field engineer who was investigating a broken switch at a substation in West Miami. The utility says he disabled two relays, and that was in violation of the company's standard procedures. His actions started a cascading effect that shut down two nuclear generation units and a natural gas unit near Miami, along with two other FPL plants. Most of the 3 million or so people who lost power got it back in 5 hours or less. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
The head of the FDA says Congress should give his agency more authority to guarantee food safety, including allowing the agency to order mandatory recalls of unsafe food, something it now lacks the power to do. And Georgia's Senate passed a bill today that would require students be weighed twice a year, part of an effort to crack down on overweight kids. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
Another how-to half minute from the Home Depot.
When are we going to redo the kitchen?
Oh, someday.
Funny. I'm looking at the calendar. I'm seeing a Monday, Tuesday,
right.
Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's no someday.
Wait a minute, are you sure?
Update today at the end of season decor event and get 10 to 50% off select decor items throughout the store. Only at the Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid through March 12th in U.S. only. Quantities and products may vary. See store for details.
You know, a wise man once said, do what you love and you won't have to work a day in your life. Of course, small business owners know that doing what you love sometimes involves doing things you don't love, like the finances. That's why more small business owners turn to Visa Business. It has multiple payment options like credit and debit that are accepted at millions of locations worldwide. And it helps reduce paperwork by tracking your finances. To see more ways Visa can help, go to visa.com/small business. Business takes Visa.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. We've got a lot to talk about and only 3 hours to do it. I'll give it my level best if you will, too. On today's program, we'll lead off with the brand new speaker of the California Assembly, an African-American woman from Los Angeles, Karen Bass. She'll join us in a moment. Also coming up, Richard Rappaport. He's the guy who's talked with us about zero tolerance and shared with me our revulsion at NBC's series called To Catch a Predator. It's not journalism, it's just entrapment on television. And finally, NBC has been sued because one person committed suicide after being caught up in the trap on Predator. Also on today's show, Scott Horton, who writes for Harper's Magazine, along with our friend Larissa Alexandrovna, they have been unraveling the messy story from Alabama of former Democratic Governor Don Siegelman. We'll talk about that scandal. It leads to Karl Rove. That's coming up later this hour. Next hour, an invitation for you to attend the Leading Progressive Conference. It's coming up in Washington, D.C. in a couple of weeks. It's called Take Back America. Roger Hickey, one of the organizers, will be joining us. We're also going to talk about a flap that has arisen that affects both the Clinton and Obama campaigns and the subprime lending meltdown. It revolves around the Pritzker family from Chicago, one of the nation's wealthiest. They made their money on Hyatt hotels and, as you'll learn, a sweetheart deal on a savings and loan. And it has implications for reasons why both senators have not really addressed the housing crisis and the mortgage crisis in very serious terms. Brad Friedman will be with us as usual in our third and final hour to talk election integrity and election protection. As you may know, in Sarasota, Florida, they lost 18,000 votes in 2006 using electronic voting machines. And this week, a House committee said, no problem, nothing to worry about. The election stands. The Republican took the seat. We need to update this one. Got some gender bias.
Without a cent, get a break and maybe grow up to be president.
Or maybe. lady, Speaker of the California Assembly. Assemblywoman Karen Bass, Democrat from Los Angeles, joins us. Madam Speaker-elect, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
It's nice to meet you and talk with you. And now that you have my congratulations, you also have my sympathy.
I knew you were going to say that.
You did?
I sure did.
That's not an original line?
I was waiting for condolences.
Well, why on earth would you want to be speaker for only 2 years at the bottom, or near the bottom, of the latest fiscal crisis in Sacramento?
Well, you know, I have been dedicated to fighting for social and economic justice my entire life, and so flip that question, and what better time? Because if you're looking at the devastating, potential devastation that the budget could have, you know, it's very important to me that we have a balanced budget, but it is very important to me that we have a budget that is not cut on the backs of those most vulnerable in our society. And so I hope that your listeners don't view this budget crisis as a crisis for 120 legislators, but really is a crisis for the people of California. And it's time for us to mobilize to demand that California be like 47 other states in the country that do not require a two-thirds vote to pass a budget.
Indeed.
Otherwise, we could solve the crisis.
Well, and also, we're boxed in manners that we have created ourselves. It started with Prop 13.
Right.
And now we have a governor who is trying to hold on to a no-new taxes pledge.
Right.
And Republican governors in the past, Ronald Reagan and Pete Wilson, historically, did find the need to raise taxes or at least enhance revenues. I know we don't like to use that term, raise taxes. But I don't believe that what we have is entirely a spending problem. We have a very wobbly revenue stream in the state of California.
Well, I mean, I don't believe we have a spending problem at all. I mean, what we're spending the money for is what we need to spend the money for. The problem is structural, just as you described, and Proposition 13, what most people don't realize is that was the ballot initiative that put in the two-thirds vote.
That's right.
That's when it started. So it wasn't just a cap on property taxes. It also changed the way we vote for a budget.
Indeed, and let's just underscore that it was passed by a simple majority, but
right.
It imposed a supermajority requirement to modify it.
Exactly, which essentially gives power to the Republicans who were very ideological in the sense that no new taxes is their mantra. And it's that kind of dogmatism, frankly, that locks us into these problems and creates a crisis.
Now, Madam Speaker-elect, Karen Bass, will you be understudying Fabian Nunez this summer through the budget battle, or will the handoff occur before then?
Well, we actually are discussing that right now, so I don't know. But what I have to look forward to is whether I take the full reins or not. I have a great working relationship with him, and I know that he will be there to assist me whenever I need it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what do you see as the things that need to change? We're looking at least an $8 billion shortfall. The May revise might give us a little hope if some Google millionaires do what they've done the last couple of years.
Yes.
But absent that, will the governor be able to hold to his pledge, and will he be able to bring members of his own party along to any compromise that you might reach to enhance revenues so that we don't have to cut the budget beyond the bone?
Well, you know what? I am certainly hoping that he'll be able to do both, which is one, be able to make the compromise himself and then to bring members of his party along. But I do think that this is a perfect opportunity for your listeners to participate as well, because they can make those demands. When there is public outcry, that results in change. And for example, you know, the vehicle license fee, which was just really, if people even remember those $50 to $100 checks they got in the mail when the governor came into office, If we had not reduced the vehicle license fee, that would have added $4-5 billion in the budget.
Yeah.
So, you know, the general public can participate, and I really want to make that appeal to your listeners. 120 legislators can't solve this without public participation.
And so, do you like cigars, and will you spend a lot of time in the tent?
I do not like cigars. I don't smoke. And sure, I'll spend time in the tent when they're not smoking.
The other thing I'd like to ask you about is some of the unfinished business that I believe led to the defeat of Proposition 93, which would have left Fabian Nunez another term as Speaker, would have left Don Parada in for another term in the state Senate. Was the failure to perform on reapportionment. Now, you've taken a pledge. You're termed out in the Assembly, but you've taken a pledge not to try to move up to the Senate.
Right.
So you have a two-year time frame, and during that period, you could put in place a new plan for reapportionment so that the 2010 census leads to a fair process that doesn't lock in the existing districts and really prevent competition across most of this state.
Well, you know, I mean, I am absolutely willing and very interested in looking at that, and there are several ideas that are floating around the building in both houses, in the Senate and the Assembly, and so I do believe it's an issue that we will take up. Now, whether or not we will be successful with it, I do have to tell you that last year, Speaker Nunez made every attempt possible to get both houses and both sides of the aisle to agree to a redistricting proposal. And unfortunately, he wasn't successful, but it isn't correct to say that the effort wasn't there. And then, you know, since term limits, the average tenure of a speaker is 18 to 24 months. Fabian was the exception in mm-hmm. having a speakership that lasted 4 years. So it's another problem with term limits.
Yeah. And what would you like to achieve as Speaker?
Well, I would love to achieve at least laying the foundation for us to address some of the structural issues. I believe they can't be addressed in 2 years, but anything I could do toward that end. And then I'm so excited by the presidential race this year. All of the new voters, the young voters, the independent voters that have jumped on board and are participating, I hope we can build on that. And you know what? If we can't change the two-thirds vote, maybe we can elect 54 Democrats. If we do that, we won't have a problem.
That's a great way to go. And have you spoken out publicly for Obama or Clinton?
Oh, I've been on the Obama campaign from almost the beginning.
Great.
I met the senator and supported him when he ran for Senate.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm with you there. I think that he offers us a lot of opportunity for real change and a way to separate ourselves from a lot of the baggage of the past, and I'm just really excited at the way he has energized the electorate, and I'm delighted to see that.
Absolutely.
Finally, Karen Bass, the new Speaker of the Assembly, have you read Basic Brown?
You know what? I got the book the other day, and I had the former speaker autograph it for me, and I plan to start it this weekend. I'm very excited about reading it.
There are a lot of great war stories in there, and certainly it might enhance your future, especially I love the hardball he played when he locked the Gang of Five out of their offices and moved their furniture out in the hallway.
Well, you know, one of those assembly members is back in the assembly, and he's serving right alongside me.
Which one?
Chuck Calderon.
Oh, Calderon. I didn't realize that. Well, watch your back.
He's a friend and a colleague.
Well, Karen Bass, it's a real pleasure to talk with you. Congratulations to you. And I would like to talk with you as often as your schedule permits as the year evolves, because it's going to be a very interesting year with a lot of challenges. And I'd like to offer you the opportunity to speak with my listeners in several California cities so that you can help get the message out when you need activists and you need progressive support.
I appreciate that. We'll look forward to it.
All right. Karen Bass, newly elected as Speaker of the Assembly in California, a Democrat from Los Angeles. We're going to take a break and return. Richard Rappaport will be with us, and we'll talk about that sleazy NBC thing that poses as journalism. It's called To Catch a Predator. It's just entrapment on television. And finally, somebody's leveled a major lawsuit. A $105 million lawsuit against NBC. We'll talk about that next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli,
with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey and Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
At Homescapes Carmel, it's important to us that we appeal to both the senses and the sensibilities of our customers. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I invite you to explore, touch, and discover all the unique items we have at Homescapes in downtown Carmel. For importers like us, nothing beats finding eclectic and worldly things in their native lands and then bringing them home to Carmel by the sea. Homescapes Carmel is on the corner of 7th and Dolores, and as soon as you walk through the doors, you'll share in the thrill of discovery. We have a wide range of furnishings and accessories that exemplify wabi-sabi, celebrating the beauty, functionality, and morality of living green. At Homescapes Carmel, we're dedicated to our customers, to our employees, and to our community. We look forward to working with you to make your home the perfect blend of comfort, beauty, and individuality. Please stop by Homescapes Carmel on 7th and Dolores. We are open 7 days a week from 10 to 6. You can call us at 831-624-6499 or check us out at homescapescarmel.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
The story is true. Dragnet. Dragnet.
You got a lot of
well, in so many cases, it is Friday.
You got a lot of repressed feelings, don't you, Friday?
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. And I think Dragnet is a kind of benign example of a television crime show. To me, the most sinister example of a crime show on television is NBC's To Catch a Predator. And this started off as a series or a report on NBC Dateline. And it is so cheesy, so salacious, and is a ratings grabber that NBC has spun it off. And if you go to their cable channels on the weekends, they replay these things ad nauseum. And if you've never seen it, what they do is they have people pose as teenage girls on the Internet. They offer a date, an opportunity to have sex to people who they don't know, anonymous men. And then they invite them to come over. And that's when Chris Hansen shows up with NBC cameras rolling. And he is a very tall guy with big hair who acts as a prosecutor, judge, and jury, usually in the kitchen of the home where they set up these scenes. Richard Rappaport joins us. He's a friend. He's a real journalist and a man who is sickened, as I am, by these things. He's written some pieces, one that he told us about a few months ago about zero tolerance that ties in with this. Richard, welcome.
Thank you, Peter.
And this is an amazing development because, finally, someone has sued NBC Television. There's a $105 million lawsuit being brought by a woman, and this is really tragic. Her brother killed himself after being caught up in the trap, the snare set up by NBC and some compliant law enforcement officials. Turned out this man was a district attorney in Dallas, and after the embarrassing exposure, he killed himself. Give me your thoughts about this lawsuit and if it might cause NBC to come to its senses.
Well, I mean, the first thing I'm afraid is that they may have made so much money on this thing that $100 million is kind of the price of doing business. Now, maybe not, but, I mean, you know, network shows like that make an awful lot of money. So, you know, they have that interest in mind. But hopefully, I mean, it's such a terrible thing. I mean, the show... Regardless, you know, now we always have to start out talking, you know, sort of the disclaimer that, you know, nobody likes child molesters.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we can't fall into the trap of thinking that, you know, because it happens to a group of people you don't like, that it can't happen to you, it can't happen again. So that's, I mean, that's my major problem with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't enjoy child molesters or defend them or promote their interests in any way. But this is simple entrapment. And there is a lot of action that takes place on the Internet now where people meet strangers and they chat and sometimes they meet. And to inject law enforcement into this and then have it paraded on television, it really strikes me as unconstitutional. And I don't know quite how they get these schlubs who get caught in these traps to sign releases so that they can broadcast the segments of their humiliation.
I could never figure that out unless, of course, it's just that people are so locked in celebrity mindset that, you know, their 15 minutes, they want their 15 minutes to happen, whether it's something hideous and tragic or not, you know.
So they'll take fame or shame as long as they get 15 minutes?
I guess, I mean, I can't explain it.
Yeah.
Unless, I don't believe NBC is paying their legal costs. I mean, I doubt that pretty seriously. So, it, you know.
Well, and one of the things that's so offensive is every sequence is the same, where the guy comes in, he's got some beer and some rubbers, and they confront him and say, "Were you planning to have sex with this girl?" And they kind of try to squirm out of it. And then after they're finished with their broadcast humiliation, they are permitted to leave the house, but there are cops who take them down. Now, we know these people are unarmed. The guy was armed with a beer and some condoms, and he leaves the house, and even if he puts his hands up and is ready to be taken into custody, they manhandle him to the ground. Several cops rush up on him. They handcuff him or manacle him, and it's just this public drama, a morality play, and it is really deeply offensive to me.
And frightening. Because, you know, what it says about us as a society is just terrible things. I mean, I don't think it's coincidental, for example, that yesterday the Pew organization released a report that said that for the first time in history, America, 1% of the American population, one in every 100 people, are now in jail or prison.
We're number one.
I mean, not just numerically, but statistically. And who are we ahead of? South Africa, China, Russia. I mean, that is just terrifying. And, you know, it says awful things about who we are as a people. But then, of course, you know, fold that back onto what kind of people would tolerate a television show like To Catch a Predator or Cops.
Right.
These other kind of things, which reinforce the idea that it's okay for cops to knock somebody off their feet and take them down.
Right. Richard, I'm out of time. Thanks for your comments today. We'll talk about this again.
All righty, Peter.
I'm Peter B. Collins. Scott Horton from Harper's joins us next. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by The Coop from Verizon Wireless, with a big keypad and an easy-to-read screen, it's a hassle-free phone that's easy to use. and by Tylenol PM rapid-release gels. They combine the fast pain relief of Tylenol with a sleep aid that, when used as directed, is non-habit-forming. Feel better. Tylenol PM. I'm Charles Osgood. They say that no two snowflakes are alike, which may or may not be true. Nobody can possibly study all the snowflakes to find out. But one thing we do know, driven snow is not pure as the driven snow. For a snowflake or a raindrop to form, the moisture in the sky has to cling to something. A nucleator, scientists call it. And now a study of 20 snow samples from Antarctica, France, Montana, and the Yukon has discovered that most snowflakes, from the time they're formed, do have something in common. Bacteria.
We found that within the atmosphere and deposited in snowflakes are a class of highly active nuclei, and they are biological in origin.
It's alive. More from the study's author, Brent Christner of Louisiana State University, after this. Are you looking to buy a cell phone for mom or dad? You probably want to get them something that's both reliable and easy to use. And Verizon Wireless has the perfect phone. It's called the Coupe. It's got a big keypad, easy-to-read screen, and dedicated buttons for emergency contacts. And since it's backed by the Good Housekeeping Seal and Verizon Wireless, you know it's reliable. The Coupe from Verizon Wireless is everything they need and nothing they don't. To learn more, call 1-800-JOIN-IN today or visit a Verizon Wireless store near you. Tylenol would like to remind everyone that March is Sleep Month. Although we set our clocks forward, you don't have to lose sleep over it. You can find all sorts of helpful ways to help you get a better night's sleep at Tylenol.com. Reading is a good one. It can help take your mind off of your day so you can put your mind at ease. And, of course, there's Tylenol PM, another safe, non-habit-forming way to get a great night's sleep when used as directed. Because the more you sleep, the better you feel. Tylenol PM. What Brett Christner teaches at Louisiana State University is biological science. Bacteria are living things, and in 85% of the snow samples he studied, the most active nuclei were bacteria, mostly Pseudomonas syringae, which are known to cause disease in tomatoes, beans, and other plants. The same bacteria are also found in summer rainfall there in Louisiana, which raises this question.
If the organism does have some role in precipitation, we ask the question now, is this organism really a good guy or is it a bad guy?
Christner says he doesn't know the answer to that question.
Atmospheric scientists who do things like study the effect of aerosols on climate, cloud formation, and precipitation are now going to have to start thinking about these particles and what role they play in these processes.
The Osgood File. Transcripts, podcasts, and MP3s of these programs can be found at theosgoodfile.com. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. It's 33 minutes after the hour. And this half hour, we talk further about the saga of Don Siegelman, a Democrat, a former governor of Alabama, who is now mopping up floors and doing janitorial duties in a federal prison behind a 7-year stretch.
Yeah.
And did I hear you say? On this program, we have identified many of the power grabs and the extremist behaviors of the Bush administration. And Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com has done a great job of keeping us abreast of her ongoing series investigating the case of Don Siegelman. And you've heard about this. He was governor of Alabama, and then on election night he was winning, and the next day he had lost. Fast forward a couple of years, he runs for election again, challenging Bob Riley, the Republican who, quote-unquote, defeated him. And suddenly he's finding himself facing an array of charges. And it's a complicated story, and I give CBS 60 Minutes some credit for its broadcast this past Sunday, where they, I think, did a pretty good job of what you can do in 13 minutes to explain this complex set of events and how they revolve around relationships involving Karl Rove, the White House political advisor who has since left, and cronies of his like Bill Canary. They've been working on campaigns together in Alabama since 1994, and others who played a role in this, including U.S. attorneys. Scott Horton writes for Harper's Magazine, and he joins us on the phone right now. Scott, thank you for talking with us today.
It's great to be with you.
And let me tell you that I'm going to give you a little bit of relief because I'm not going to ask you to recap the entire saga here. It is.
You did a pretty good job.
Well, I do my best. I actually have a chart from Raw Story here that helps me with the players and the figure, the characters, and it does help me keep tabs on it. But would you agree that 60 Minutes did a reasonable job? Of course, the network decided to broadcast it opposite the Oscars, one of the lowest viewing nights for 60 Minutes every year.
Well, I think that's right. In fact, as I understand it, the CBS team had roughly an hour's worth of material, and they pulled out, I think, what were the most effective, 13 minutes out of that hour. But the good news is that they have a lot more, and they're therefore in a position to do one or perhaps two more segments, probably pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. And do you think in those other segments, for example, they might include what I found omitted, the role of William Pryor, who was Attorney General, and also the election issue that I referenced, because they didn't even comment on that?
Well, I think probably the next two things that will come under focus will be the role of the Republican judge who handled this, Mark Fuller, former member of the executive committee of the Alabama GOP, a person who had made public statements about a grudge he had with Siegelman, and then who refused to recuse himself and went on to handle the case. And then I think the next segment will probably be involving the Canaries, Laura Canary and her husband, Bill Canary, the dynamic power couple of Alabama politics. Bill Canary was the man running the Republican campaign against Siegelman, and his wife was bringing a prosecution against Siegelman, of course, aiding the campaign process.
Right, and Bill Canary worked together with Karl Rove going back to 1994, so they had a very close working relationship.
As I trace it, 17 years back, a long, long way.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Now, Scott, let's talk a little bit about the repercussions of the broadcast. There's been a lot of stuff flying around the Internet this week about the fact that the Huntsville CBS affiliate somehow lost the satellite feed right at the beginning of 60 Minutes and managed to reconnect to it right at the end of the segment about Don Siegelman.
The most amazing coincidence of all broadcast history, don't you think? When, of course, if there was one segment of 60 Minutes for this year that the people of Alabama really wanted to see, of course, it was this thing involving Don Siegelman.
Yeah. Now, I've read some of the emails that they've been sending around, and they're really on the offensive, the owners of that television station, to try to debunk any theories that they censored the broadcast of this particular story. And I have to say, Scott, I know a little bit about the technology involved, and I explained to my listeners the other day that at our flagship radio station in Monterey, California, when we first started it up in 2005, we had a lot of problems where between the computer and the satellite receiver, we're a progressive talk station, and every now and then the computer and the satellite receiver would pick a right-wing talk show host and put it on the air. So there are glitches that do occur, but I have to say that the timing of this one makes it highly suspect.
I think that's right. But, of course, looking at the totality of it, people they picked as a target right away the equity holder, the investment fund that owned the radio that involved one of the Bass brothers. But actually, it just happens to be the one Democratic Bass brother who has never supported the Bushes, hates the Republicans, and constantly is feuding with his brothers. So, you know, I don't think that's the problem. I think, you know, far more likely, if it's not the biggest mistake, the biggest gremlin problem of all time, then it might very well be a right-leaning technician out there in the studio who just accidentally pulled the switch at the wrong moment. That's a possibility. Because they did not go off the air. They went to black. You could actually see sort of shadows of things in the studio through the broadcast.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other thing is in smaller cities, these things are automated now. And on the weekends, they don't staff. And sometimes, again, a computer might not know what to do if the signal coming down is not received. You know, it's supposed to switch to a certain channel right at 6 o'clock is when they broadcast it in Huntsville. And, you know, if that doesn't happen, then the computer will just sit there waiting for
Absolutely right. Now, of course, we have to remember that Huntsville, Alabama is the high-tech capital of the South. This is where NASA has its labs that build engines.
That's true.
And it's filled with PhDs and engineers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the last place in Alabama where you would expect this problem to occur.
Scott Horton is with us. He writes for Harper's Magazine and has been covering this issue on their website, too. And, Scott, tell me, I heard some rumors that people were putting pressure on you in advance of the 60 Minutes broadcast, trying to intimidate you and chill your First Amendment rights.
Well, I think, you know, it's very, very clear that, that people around Karl Rove are disturbed, that Karl Rove himself is very disturbed about this entire story. They don't want it to come out. They've been trying to repress it as hard as they can. You know, there were smear efforts that were launched. I mean, articles that were published, internet stories that were put out, that attacked me, and some other people who were involved. But, you know, I can't say that, that would have any positive effect on me, more just the opposite, of course.
Yeah. Now, Scott, I want to tell you how much I appreciate the article that is in the March issue of Harper's, because you took the Siegelman case, but you put it in a much larger frame. And you look at the overarching Bush administration aims with the Justice Department. And let me lift a couple of quotes here, and we'll talk about them. The Republican project of the past 7 years has been to build on that success, to transform the legal apparatus of the United States into an instrument of partisan force. Each step of that transformation has been well reported, but few commentators have noted how those steps have in turn brought about a complete subversion of the original law enforcement function of the Justice Department. And I don't think that's hyperbole, Scott. You go on to say, the first priority of the Justice Department, of course, was not publishing the resumes of fourth-tier law grads. It was to help Republicans at the polls at election time. And I believe that this Siegelman case offers us the keys to the vault of the secrecy of the Bush administration, the politicization of the Justice Department, and the way that U.S. attorneys were directed from Washington to pursue political cases.
Well, I think that's the evidence we get from these many different areas. From, you know, there has been a probe into what's happened with the Voting Rights Division, with the, you know, the Civil Rights Section. There's the U.S. Attorney scandal. There's the scandal about the hiring process, and then there's the political prosecution. And at the bottom of every single one of these different scandals is the same issue. It is political control. It's affecting and manipulating the voting process. So as to give an advantage in that process to the Republican Party, and if the people by mistake vote against the Republicans, then of course they'll simply take out the Democrat by prosecuting him.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it appears that even John Ashcroft had limits in terms of how far he was willing to go. His limits are certainly far beyond mine. But Alberto Gonzalez was the real runaway freight train. Would you agree?
Absolutely. There's no question. It was his main mission when he was in the White House to implement this program, and he seems to have been put into the Justice Department to carry it to fruition. It seems that Ashcroft put up limits all over the place. He said he would implement the program, but only just so far. And, Alberto Gonzalez was basically a freight train to put the whole thing into place. No limits.
Mm-hmm. And without asking you to go into heavy speculation mode, just based on some of the cases that we know, would you say that this Alabama case is the most egregious, or is that tough to scale at this point?
Well, we have, I think, the most evidence linking the White House to manipulation so far in the Alabama case. The second one that everyone's really focused on right now comes out of New Mexico. And in New Mexico, we know that there was a Republican congresswoman, a Republican senator, who attempted to manipulate a criminal investigation, have an indictment handed down just before the 2006 general election so as to affect those elections. We know when the U.S. attorney there, David Iglesias, rebuffed them, they went and talked to Karl Rove, and then they went and talked to the president in order to get Iglesias taken out. So, and both those acts might very well be felonies, in any event, extremely serious matters. And this is one of the points on which, as you'll recall, Alberto Gonzalez had a general failure of recollection.
Mm-hmm.
And I expect there's an internal investigation going on into this now within the Department of Justice. I think it is a reasonable likelihood that we're going to see a recommendation for some serious sanctions against Alberto Gonzalez and potentially other people in the Department of Justice. And I think we're probably going to see the finger being pointed at the White House.
And you reference,
this could be very explosive.
You referenced the under oath amnesia that we saw play out vividly when Gonzalez testified several times before the House and Senate. And would you then, this has to be speculation because I couldn't prove anything at this point myself, but I firmly believe that Gonzalez's memory loss was an effort to protect the president.
That's what I believe. I mean, all the evidence I've seen, including some research that's been done in two newspapers in New Mexico, indicates that it was to protect the president. And by the way, if you have a failure of memory, that doesn't protect you from perjury. In fact, the Department of Justice has been aggressively charging perjury in a number of cases in which people say they can't recall, where the failure of recollection is not credible. And I'll just suggest I haven't seen a less credible failure of recollection than that of Alberto Gonzalez. he's a ripe candidate for an indictment, many, many counts, in fact.
Indeed. We're going to take a break and return with Scott Horton from Harper's Magazine. If you have a question or a comment about the Siegelman case in Alabama, the wider issues of the politicization of the quote-unquote Justice Department, and the U.S. attorney cases, here's your chance to ask the question. Toll-free, it's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. More in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show. Grab the podcast and share it with a friend. Links on the homepage at peterbcollins.com. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks?
Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Senator, I was at the meeting. I must have said something, but I just don't remember. I can't recall. That's Peter Gabriel, our official testifying theme song for Alberto Gonzalez. Scott Horton is with us. He writes for Harper's Magazine. You got to read his lengthy article in the March issue of Harper's because it offers details on the Siegelman story, but context as well on the politicization of the Justice Department under George W. Bush. We've got some callers on the line. Let's go to Chico first, and this is Kevin. Kevin, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Peter. Great show, great guest. Scott, thank you for a great article at Harper's. It really was informative. Raw Story was reporting today that the Republican operative, I believe her last name is Simpson, who was featured so prominently on 60 Minutes, is challenging Karl Rove to, as she did, put her hand on the Bible and testify before Congress. I certainly hope that that call gets out widely, it makes greater press, and someone will hold Rove up to that, and that the noise machine won't just keep making it sound like he's a choir boy.
Scott, you think that Karl Rove will ever take bait like that?
Well, I think this is the obvious next step, and Congress wants him to put his hand on the Bible, swear to tell the truth, and answer questions, be subjected to cross-examination. Congress has also asked him to turn over his emails, his documents, and, you know, the response we've gotten from both of those things is an invocation of executive privilege. He claims he's been instructed not to testify, and we're being told that most of his emails have just disappeared, amazingly.
Yeah.
So I think you put him side by side with Jill Simpson. I have to say, Jill Simpson is an extremely credible figure. She's a Republican lawyer. She's describing, she attributes to Karl Rove statements and requests that we know he's done in the past. You can just read the article Josh Green wrote in The Atlantic about prior campaigns he did in Alabama. He did exactly the same thing. It's very well documented. And Simpson herself has nothing to gain from this. I mean, she's a Republican after all, and her future and that party has been destroyed by coming forward. She said she had to come forward as a matter of conscience because she couldn't live with the idea of this man being stuck in a prison for 7.5 years for no reason.
Nice to see a conscience there. Kevin, anything else?
There are a few. Well, and let's just not forget that her house apparently was hit by some Republican lightning.
that's right. There was a mysterious electrical fire, and her SUV was driven off the road and totaled, too. And the house of Don Siegelman was burglarized repeatedly.
Yeah.
And the office of Don Siegelman's lawyer was broken into and ransacked. Now, that lawyer had a television set, a bar. No. The thief only wanted to go through the legal files. That's it.
Kevin, you made my day. I love well-informed callers. Thank you, sir. Now to Julie in Sacramento. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Scott Horton.
Hi, Peter B. and Mr. Horton.
Hi.
I just wanted to find out. I have two questions. The first one is on the CEO of Quest. Was there any federal prosecutors involved? And the second question is, the Dallas Star in Texas had been reporting on Medicare fraud that two federal investigators had undertaken. The drug companies and I believe GE were represented by Gonzalez. And subsequently, the two federal prosecutors died of natural causes. Do you know of either one?
Well, let's start with the Dallas case, Scott.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Julie. I'm not familiar with that.
That's the one I regret. I don't know too much about. I mean, I do know that Alberto Gonzalez's firm was heavily involved representing Enron. That was their number one client. And also Arthur Anderson, the accounting firm. Mm-hmm. That's quite a dynamic duo to start with, but I don't know about the pharmaceutical business. The second point, I know quite a bit about the Quest executive. Remember when the Bush administration went to the telecom companies and asked them to cooperate in an unauthorized, warrantless spying on Americans, one executive, and that is the executive of Quest, said, no, it's not legal. Why don't you go get a change in law that will authorize it? Or why don't you go get warrants?
Mm-hmm.
And what happened? Within a matter of months, an investigation was launched into this executive, and he was charged with securities fraud. Very, very interesting how all that worked. And not only that, but Quest had major contracts with the National Security Administration, NSA, and suddenly those contracts were canceled.
And his name.
And I think this is just the way I'm afraid the Bush administration operates.
The Quest CEO named Nacio, right?
Exactly.
Now, do you believe that that was a political prosecution? I've never really been able to drill into that case myself, Scott.
I would only say the circumstances are extremely suspicious. The Justice Administration insists it wasn't, but all you have to do is go back and look at the timeline and track it, and it looks like it's a prosecution about getting a person and not about dealing with a crime.
And, Scott, timeline. When was the request made to Quest for illegal surveillance?
Before 9/11. That's one of the really astonishing things about this, because the administration has told us repeatedly that these were emergency measures that had to be taken in the wake of 9/11. We've discovered, of course, almost as soon as the Bush administration took office, it was going to the telecoms trying to get authority to snoop without warrant.
It was in March of 2001, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. And it just burns me because so many times it is repeated and blithely just tossed off that the illegal wiretapping came after 9/11. And this is another reason why I can't support amnesty for the phone companies and the Senate version of the bill. And I want to know why this was started before 9/11.
Well, I agree. Of course, the administration is right, and what they did is lawful. They don't have anything to worry about. But there's no reason to give retroactive immunity. They have immunity going forward, so the only thing they have to worry about is what they did in the past. And if they behave illegally, there are consequences for that.
Scott Horton, I want to thank you for your work. Thanks for joining us today, and I'd like to talk to you again because there's much more to the story that we didn't have time for.
Great to be with you.
All right. Well, we'll see if we can schedule another opportunity in the near future. And I recommend Harper's Magazine, especially for your article. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
Coming up next, what am I doing next? I can't find my list. Next, something completely different here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And I'll find out at the top of the hour and explain it to you, okay? I know one thing next hour. We're going to look at the relationship between Barack Obama and the wealthy Pritzker family. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. The Dow drops more than 300 points.
It was a brutal way to end the month of February.
A new Hillary Clinton ad provokes Barack Obama.
We've seen these ads before. They're usually the kind that play upon people's fears and try to scare up votes.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. This leap day turned out to be plunge day on Wall Street. The Dow lost 315 points, 2.5%, to close at 12,266. The Nasdaq dropped 60 points to finish the week at 2,271. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus blames a perfect storm of bad economic news.
We have record high oil prices, a weakening job market, a slumping dollar. You add to that the fact that banks may stand to lose hundreds of billions of dollars more in losses because of the credit crunch, and there's not a lot of happiness out there, not a lot of reason for investors to want to go out and buy stocks.
The government says consumer spending rose just 0.4% in January, but all of that increase was due to inflation.
Consumer spending has not grown now for 2 months in a row, and in our view, that's a pretty troubling sign.
Deutsche Bank economist Joseph Lavorgna, another troubling sign, sharply higher food prices, even for simple things like pizza. CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan has that.
Any way you slice it, it's tough at the pizza parlor. On top of last year's rise in cheese prices, now wheat used in crusts is way up. At the Buddy's Pizza chain in Detroit, Wes Pakula says customers may have to dig deeper.
Right now, we're evaluating if we can continue to stay at this level or if some adjustments need to be made.
Stuffed crust pizza from Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut and some others hiked the price of a cheese-only pizza last year. A few chains were lucky enough to buy most of their 2008 wheat supply before the price jump. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
Now this.
Well, I was shopping for a new car. Which one's me? A cool convertible or an SUV? Too bad I didn't know my credit was whack, because now I'm driving off the lot in a used subcompact FREE. That spells free. CreditReport.com, baby. Saw their ads on my TV. Thought about going, but was too lazy. Now instead of looking fly and rolling fat, my legs are sticking to the vinyl and my posse's getting laughed at. FREE. That spells free. CreditReport.com, baby.
Offer applies with enrollment and triple advantage.
Looking to diversify your portfolio? It's time to start trading foreign currencies at Forex.com. In these financial times, diversification is key. At Forex.com, we give you the tools you need to expand your investment portfolio beyond stocks and into the OTC foreign exchange market. Start trading foreign currencies 24 hours a day, 5 days a week. Go to Forex.com, open a free practice account today, and test your trading strategies risk-free. When you're ready, just click and trade. Forex.com.
Forex is an over-the-counter market and involves significant risk of loss.
With crucial primaries coming up next Tuesday, CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports the Clinton campaign has an attention-getting new ad.
It's 3 a.m. and your children are safe and asleep. But there's a phone in the White House and it's ringing.
It's not quite the infamous 1964 Daisy ad that warned a wrong presidential choice could lead to nuclear war, but the intent of the new Hillary Clinton ad running in Texas is pretty clear.
Who do you want answering the phone?
Barack Obama reacted swiftly.
We have had a red phone moment. It was the decision to invade Iraq. Senator Clinton gave the wrong answer.
Clinton's campaign aides say national security is a key issue, and this ad just points that out. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Washington.
Because White House Chief of Staff Josh Bolton and former White House counsel Harriet Myers refused to testify or provide documents about the firings of federal prosecutors, the House cited them for contempt. But today, Attorney General Michael Mukasey refused to refer those contempt citations to a grand jury. He says Bolton and Myers committed no crime. The White House just announced that Tim Gageline, a special assistant to President Bush, has resigned after admitting that columns he wrote for an Indiana newspaper contained material lifted from other sources without attribution. Turns out there's a simple explanation for Tuesday's big power failure in Florida. CBS News correspondent Peter King reports.
The blackout lasted less than 5 hours for most of the 3 million or so people affected. Now, Florida Power and Light says a human mistake caused the massive shutdown. The utility says it happened after an engineer disabled two relays while inspecting a broken switch at a substation near Miami. The company says it was done without authorization and in violation of its own rules. The action started a cascading shutdown that included two nuclear generators, a natural gas unit, and two other FPL plants. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
A power outage in Fort Worth today affected about 10,000 homes and businesses and two water pumping stations. Officials say a squirrel, now deceased, shorted out a substation. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hi, Mom.
What's all this?
I got you a cell phone, the Coupe from Verizon Wireless. Check it out. It's got a big keypad, easy-to-read screen, plus dedicated buttons for emergency contacts. It's everything you need.
Great. What's with 4 zillion people?
Oh, that's the network. They come with it.
Hi.
Good to meet you.
Hey, how you doing?
Good afternoon.
Welcome.
Hola.
Say hello to the Coupe, backed by the Good Housekeeping Seal, exclusively from America's most reliable wireless network, Verizon Wireless. Call 1-800-2-JOIN-IN today.
Jackson, go tell Brinkman to speed things up on the job site.
That's a long way, boss, but I'm on my way. Message delivered, sir.
One more thing. Run back and tell him that...
We really need Nextel Direct Connect. Oh, I think I pulled a hammy.
Connect at the touch of a button with Nextel Direct Connect from Sprint. Get the rugged new i570 by Motorola. Just $69.99 for your business accounts. Visit Sprint.com/Nextel or call 1-800-SPRINT-1. Sprint. Ends 4-1908. Excludes taxes. Subject to 2-year agreement. Up to $36 activation, $200 early termination fees. Credit approval and deposit. Available corporate liable activations and eligible upgrades only. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
It's an election year. Progressives will be gathering in Washington, D.C., and we invite you to join us. Take back America.
This country, what we need is progressives to take the lead. So let's take back America. Let's unite and stand tall and win health care for all. And let's take back America. Green jobs for our nation, to end our oil fixation, for the planet and economy.
Take Back America occurs in Washington, D.C. It starts on March 17th, and we'll be broadcasting live.
We will fight for social justice, righting wrongs that are amongst us, and we'll take back America. To our troops in Iraq, we will bring you back and support you here at home. Jobs that are well paid, fair trade over free trade, when we take back America.
Joining me to talk about this important progressive conference is Roger Hickey, co-founder of the Campaign for America's Future. Roger, how are you today?
Peter, it's great to be with you, and it's great to hear that song that we produced.
Isn't it cool?
It is. You know, that Willie Nelson wrote the original lyrics, and then we've just been working on it since then. That was a staffer of ours who sang that.
Well, and there's a video that people can find at ourfuture.org that goes along with it. We do sometimes play videos on the radio, but hard to get the pictures across sometimes. Well, Roger, I want to tell you that, and I want to share with our listeners who may, of course, have heard our live broadcasts from Radio Row at Take Back America in the preceding 2 years. I am really hyped, pumped up, and ready to go. And it's going to be a great conference this year. And I get the honor of hosting my own show from Radio Row. And on Monday and Tuesday of Take Back America, I'll be sitting in for Tom Hartman on Air America Radio. And because the conference attracts so many progressives and elected leaders, it's just a great place to network, to pick up energy, to gain ideas, trade ideas. And I have to say that it's one of the most effective networking opportunities that I've had access to over the last few years.
Well, you know, and I've been just impressed about how it's grown every year, and it's really a reflection of the citizens' movement that is building kind of exponentially in this year of political change.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got politicians who have now picked up the thematics of what we've been saying for a long time. We've got to take back our country. And we've got this incredibly rich, sophisticated grassroots and netroots and political operation that people are putting together mm-hmm. to make sure that the politicians really do what they need to do.
And let me give you an example, Roger, because over the last 2 years, one person who I have seen both times at Take Back America is Donna Edwards. Mm. And she has been working hard to win a congressional seat in suburban Washington in Maryland. And in the primary just a few weeks back, she had a phenomenal victory. It was almost, 60-40 over an incumbent. And it's just remarkable to see that as perhaps a blueprint for congressional races across the country this year.
Yeah, absolutely. She's this year's Ned Lamont, and the difference is that once you win the nomination in a safe seat like that, you're in the Congress.
Well, and the difference is that Ned Lamont was a wealthy man who was able to spend, I think, $12 million of his own fortune. Donna Edwards did this with a lot of help from grassroots support, Democracy for America, different groups like that. And I really believe, Roger, I can't prove this, and I've talked to Donna once since her victory, and I didn't ask her about it, but I think that some of the contacts and connections that she made at Take Back America were very influential in helping her win this upset victory.
Well, of course, this is a case of Donna Edwards, who has been involved in the progressive movement for years and years and years. I mean, she has been a leader helping to fund grassroots organizations, helping to run grassroots organizations. And, yes, I'm sure that at Take Back America she connected with lots of the bloggers who have helped her this year have been incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And that enthusiasm of that network of people who have ability to raise money and spread the word has been really influential. Last year I had the opportunity to lead a panel on health care for all with Donna.
Mm-hmm.
And she was one of the speakers, along with Ned Lamont.
Yep.
So we are simultaneously teaching each other and learning from each other as we get ready for a bigger majority, thanks to people like Donna.
So Take Back America is occurring March 17th to 19th. We'll have to pause for St. Patrick's Day in there.
Yeah, we'll have some green beer.
It's at the Omni Shoreham Hotel. That's a new location. They've moved from the Hinckley Hilton in Washington, D.C., and it is a great event. Roger, are there any methods or networks set up? For example, if activists want to come from California, are there any buses that are being chartered or group rates that might be available?
Not that I know of for transportation.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, people in Hollywood have chartered planes, but I don't think that's politically correct anymore. So there's no airplanes that I know of.
Yeah.
But I used to live in the Bay Area. I ran the Public Media Center way back in the 70s, and every once in a while we would pack up and go to Washington to connect with what was going on in the rest of the country.
Mm-hmm.
I would urge people to think about it, and they'll certainly be able to communicate back to their home place via your program and others.
Mm-hmm. Now, Roger, you just dropped something there I didn't know about your past. Tell us about your role at the Public Media Center.
Well, way back in the anti-war days, I worked with a group that did it. Anti-war advertising, and this was before the internet and before MoveOn.org. And we did ads against the war, produced by advertising people there in San Francisco and L.A., and then we got them on the air by hook or by crook, and we turned that into an advertising agency for good causes. The Public Media Center still goes on today and does good work. So it's part of the big quilt of our progressive movement these days.
Now, Roger, Take Back America last year was phenomenal because, if I recall this correctly, it all happened on one day. A breakfast speech from Hillary Clinton, followed by the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. Workshops, and then at lunchtime, it was John Edwards and Barack Obama. And I can't remember if John Kerry spoke the same day or maybe on a different day. But the range of voices that we heard, and the incredible, you know, for me it was the first time I heard John Kerry articulate his regret about the vote in 2002 to authorize Bush to go into Iraq. It was the first time I had seen Barack Obama, and he really separated himself from the others, showing his incredible skills, not just as a speaker, but as somebody who can read a room and really connect with almost everybody who is watching him speak. And it gave me, you know, just a lot of good information and exposure to these key figures that has informed some of my own commentary here over the last year.
Yes. As CNN said in their report about last year, it was the place for progressives to be and politicians who wanted the support of progressives. Now, we'll see this year. We'll see. We didn't quite know where the nominating process was going to be. So we don't know where the candidates, whether they will even come. We've invited Hillary. We've invited John Edwards. We've invited Barack Obama, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And we will see after the primaries next week whether things are sewed up or not. And we will see whether they want to come and once again court progressives now that we're closer to the general election.
Yeah.
But the one thing we know is that we have an influence. We have set the agenda and the themes for this election. In Ohio, they're talking about trade, they're talking about jobs, they're talking about health care for all, they're talking about new energy investments that'll create jobs in America, green jobs. And all of those themes came from the progressive movement. All of those themes these candidates have learned coming from it to Take Back America. What we're going to be talking about this time around is not only how to win, but also how to hold their feet to the fire to make sure that we've got an operating majority that is progressive and wants to change the country.
Amen. And I think both of those steps are really important. We need to coalesce. We need to energize for the election this year. And then we need to not sit back and just expect those we elected to do as we expected.
Yes.
We have to keep them on track almost every day. And sometimes it's to give them political cover. I believe that Speaker Pelosi would like to go much further in protecting our rights under FISA. She'd like to go much further in ending our occupation of Iraq and bringing the troops home. I know her as a true and, I would say, hardcore progressive. And one of her limitations is that she has to work with the Democrats in the Congress, including a lot of conservatives, the Blue Dogs. And that's why the Donna Edwards victory is so significant. If we can replicate that even in an additional 20 districts around the country, we could see a sea change in the House.
It really is important. This is a year that only comes around every once in a while where you can imagine a major new group of progressives coming to Congress, defeating entrenched either Democrats or Republicans, so that the progressives in the House and the Senate have a bigger margin and a new energy. And that's our job between now and the election.
We're talking with Roger Hickey, co-founder of Our Future. That's campaign for America's future. The website is ourfuture.org, and that's where you can get full details about the Take Back America conference convening in Washington, March 17th to the 19th. And as you've heard, we'll be broadcasting live from the event those days. We'll take a break and return if you have a question or comment. If you're a progressive activist and you want to offer some ideas or check out the conference, give us a call now, toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Email is working too. Try Peter at peterbcollins.com.
You're listening to KRXA 540. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
From Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore in Carmel, and we have something new, a unique opportunity to give yourself or someone special the gift of consultation with nationally respected life coach and career mentor, Raymond Davi. Paul and I know firsthand the empowerment Ray has to offer. Discover how changes can propel you where you want to go in the areas of personal and career growth or planning goals for ongoing success, as well as insights for your work-life balance. Don't hesitate. Call and reserve your 90-minute appointment or purchase a gift certificate now. Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, 624-4955 or www.pilgrimsway.com.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Good afternoon, happy Friday, checking traffic on KRXA, and not looking too bad for a Friday, just one accident out there. This is northbound 9 at Skyline Boulevard up in Boulder Creek. A motorcycle apparently down, the driver may have gone off the roadway and into a ditch. Emergency crews on the scene partially blocking the roadway, so be prepared for delays there. We do have reports of a stall. This is in Carmel, northbound 1. Before you get to Carmel Valley Road, the right lane is partially blocked. A tow truck is on the scene. Look for a little bit of delay in both directions as you approach the scene. 17 going through the Santa Cruz Mountains currently. Checks in stall and accident free. Of course, southbound 17 onto southbound Highway 1 in Santa Cruz. You are seeing that heavy traffic, especially through the construction zone there. For Santa Cruz itself, northbound 1, the Emmeline Avenue off ramp, that's still shut down for some road work. Highway 68 currently checking in stall and accident free. This traffic report brought to you by Carfax. Airbags save thousands of lives in the Monterey area every year. Are the airbags in the used car you're buying working? Step 1 to finding out. Ask to see the Carfax vehicle history report before you buy or go to carfax.com. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Yeah. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Roger Hickey is here from the Campaign for America's Future, inviting you to join us in Washington March 17th to 19th for the Take Back America Conference. And how many years have you been doing this, Roger?
It's been about 5 years now.
Uh-huh.
It gets bigger every year.
I'll get the music out of your ears. Sorry about that. And how many people did attend last year? I don't have a number on that.
It was close to 3,000.
Wow.
You know, people come and go, but it was a pretty big event.
Yeah. And I'm just looking at your honorees here. Norman Lear, of course, the great producer of All in the Family and many other shows, who started People for the American Way and has been a progressive activist on many fronts. He'll be there. Jan Schakowsky, an incredibly energetic small package congresswoman from the North Shore of Chicago. She represents Evanston, where I went to school.
Uh-huh.
And Kathleen Turner's going to be there? I mean, I was coming anyway, Roger.
Yeah, Kathleen has got a new book about her life and work. And she's very, very involved in some of the issues that we'll be talking about.
All right, I want an interview because I just think she has one of the greatest voices in Hollywood.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah.
She's terrific.
And then there's a whole list, too many people to mention here. But
well, also
of...
we're honoring Van Jones
from
the Bay Area.
San Francisco, right.
Yeah. Who's a great leader on green jobs.
Yes, he is. And he's also a great activist for social justice. He's worked with me on some projects related to life prisoners in the California Department of Corrections.
Uh-huh.
We got Dave and Eureka with a comment. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, Peter. And Roger, thank you both for all that you're doing. But you, Roger, slipped that you said way back in the old anti-war days. Well, of course, you know. We don't have to go back more than tonight.
The Vietnam days, I meant.
Yeah, I figured that. Every Friday here in Humboldt County, we stand out in front of our courthouse with a sign from the Vets for Peace, and we welcome anybody that wants to join us to do so. And we know there's a lot of people here that would do just about anything they felt they could do to try to turn this around. And so... And we have, of course, the big peace march coming up next month.
That's right, yeah.
Well, as a matter of fact, it'll be on the 19th is the anniversary of the war.
Mm-hmm.
So there will be activists from all over the country in town then. And starting on Monday, we're doing a set of parts of the conference that are focused on organizing to end the war in Iraq.
We hope to have a few thousand right here in Humboldt, but we'd love to be there, too.
All right, Dave, thank you for the call, and I appreciate that.
Thanks
reminder.
For what you're doing.
Roger, I just scrolled down here, and this is kind of inside to you and me and a handful of other people, but I just want to thank you for setting up the Maria Levy Award. Maria died last year just before the conference, and she was a tireless behind-the-scenes worker who helped me on many occasions set up interviews, reach out to difficult-to-find members of Congress and others. And I want to direct people to the website because there are people who are competing to win an award as an activist, but not necessarily the one who ends up behind the microphone at a press conference.
Yeah, Maria was a force here in this town because she didn't need to be she didn't need her voice and her name on anything. She just worked behind the scenes. She had an incredible network of people that she knew and put together. She was a great organizer of the media, and she helped to work on Radio Row originally, Take Back America, when we first started doing that. She was an incredible person, and it turned out did not make enough money to even have health insurance.
Oh.
So one of the tragedies of her passing that we only realized afterwards is that she probably might have lived if she had had health insurance.
Yeah. Well, we'll move on from that somber note. But,
yeah,
but
we're celebrating her life, and we're going to be celebrating somebody who lives in her spirit.
Yeah. And indeed, it is a reminder that health care should be a right in this country. And for me, I'm a little tired of this narrowly focused argument over mandates. To me, what we really need to see is an incredible push, and it can't just be the next president. It's going to take a concerted effort, and this is one of those areas where we're going to have to press well beyond the 2008 election cycle and make sure that our desires are heard and become the law of the land in terms of national health care.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Peter, because we are in the process of organizing a big coalition of groups to work and press the politicians on health care for all, and we're going to have a session at least once a day throughout the conference on health care.
Very good. Roger Hickey, I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
We'll look for you.
I'll be there.
Okay.
Thank you. That's Roger Hickey, co-founder of the Campaign for America's Future. Progressives will be gathering in Washington for Take Back America starting March 17th. Visit ourfuture.org and get all the details. Coming up next, reporter Tim Anderson joins us from Chicago. We'll talk about the Pritzkers and Obama and Clinton.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Have you heard who's running for president? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. It took a conservative talk show host to open America's eyes.
And the Clinton News Network at some point is going to peel the bark off Barack Hussein Obama.
He exposed what the initial CNN actually stand for and reminded us that there is a man running for president named Barack Hussein Obama, the significance of which is clear to anybody who saw the Oscars.
His middle name is the last name of Iraq's former tyrant. His last name rhymes with Osama.
Now, there are people trying to put a positive spin on this. For example, I noticed a number of bloggers have pointed out that the name Hussein is from a Semitic word meaning good or handsome, and that Barack means to bless. They argue that since the actual meaning of the name is blessed, good, and handsome, we shouldn't worry about what it rhymes with. Are we buying that, America? Because if you buy that, then how come Hillary Clinton isn't doing better? You know what her name means? Joyful, glad, cheerful. But it's not the meaning that matters. It's what the name rhymes with. And the name Hillary rhymes exactly with the name of the person married to Bill Clinton, the man who single-handedly controls the mainstream media.
CBS, the Clinton Broadcasting System. NBC, the Nobody But Clinton Network.
Yes, and so I say to the fledgling democracies around the world, when you choose your leaders, always check to see if the name rhymes with someone you hate. This is why North Korea is so messed up. They chose Kim Jong-il. Guy's name exactly matches the name of a notorious dictator. Now this.
Welcome to Chapman's Cheeses.
Yes, what do you recommend today?
Well, there's a special on forgotten expenses, disorganized sales figures. But I highly recommend the lingering invoicing. Very well aged.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why millions of businesses rely on QuickBooks software to easily deal with routine chores, like tracking sales, organizing expenses, and creating invoices, so you can get back to what you do best.
This is a cheese shop, isn't it?
Yeah.
QuickBooks. Get back to business. Start today at QuickBooks.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Do you want some downtime? A break from work and worry without breaking the bank? At the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes in Watsonville will give you the breathing space you need. The Spa at Pajaro Dunes is now open to the general public. Spend an hour being pampered with a warm stone massage or European facial. Gather your friends together for a spa party or surprise your sweetie with a couples massage. Stay for a long, lazy weekend in a luxurious condo at the Dunes with 150 acres of beach and wetlands. You'll have your own ocean view and the price is unbeatable. Only a short drive from anywhere on the Central Coast, relief is only minutes away without the time and expense of a long trip. We'll also simplify your wedding plans. Have your ceremony, guests, and special events all in the same place. In nearby Watsonville, at the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes will make your life a little easier and a lot more enjoyable. Call 888-91-DUNES and mention KRXA to get our lowest rates. That's 888-91-DUNES.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
I want to take a moment here to honor the life and work of Buddy Miles. Buddy Miles is a great drummer, came out of the psychedelic era. He played with Jimi Hendrix, Carlos Santana in the 60s and 70s. Well, 60s with Jimi Hendrix. And later with Carlos Santana and his brother Jorge. Buddy Miles died at the age of 60 in Austin, Texas this past Tuesday. Buddy Miles had a difficult life, and he befriended me when I was a rock jock in San Francisco in the 1980s, after he had just come off a stint at San Quentin Prison for a drug violation. And we helped him with a comeback concert that helped put some money back in his pocket and get him back in the groove. And his life didn't straighten out completely. He had more difficulties. But I will always remember him as a gentle man with an incredible sense of rhythm. And somewhere in a closet, I've got a Buddy Miles tour jacket with my name embossed on it. And I'm kind of happy about that. And now for something completely different. Tim Anderson joins us from Chicago. He is a specialist in banking regulation who reported on much of the savings and loan meltdown back in the 1980s. That's something that I covered in detail because, as I've explained before, my dad was in the high school class of one Charlie Keating. My dad made me go to the same high school where Charlie's kids were. And so when the savings and loan situation went sideways and Charlie Keating became a poster child for that, well, it garnered my interest. And Tim Anderson has been diving into the murky world of a super wealthy family, the Pritzkers, in Chicago. They made an initial fortune from the Hyatt hotel chain and real estate investments, but they've also done very well with some sweetheart deals on a bank in Chicago that went belly up, Superior Bank of Chicago, and the subprime mortgage lending mess that has started to melt down. Tim Anderson, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And let me back into this in this manner. Penny Pritzker, a member of this powerful family who was chair of the Superior Bank when it went under, is the finance chair for Barack Obama. And that's why this story matters to us today. And you have called for her to resign that position.
Well, I think Barack has to demonstrate to his following that he will not tolerate the predatory / subprime lending that has been taking place. And as long as he gives cover to Penny Pritzker, who is at the forefront of subprime predatory lending, he really can't take a stand. So he can't have it both ways. He can't represent the people that have been hurt by the subprime meltdown and the predatory lending practices, and then give cover to the person that was at the head of the whole problem.
Also, the interesting little wrinkle here is that Penny Pritzker's brother, J. Robert, known as J.B. Pritzker, is the chairman of Citizens for Hillary Clinton.
Yes, I mean, that's the amazing thing. He was on our public television speaking for Hillary a couple weeks ago. The reason, as people have been reading this story a little bit, asking the question, why hasn't Hillary's campaign made an issue of it? Well, she can't because Penny's younger brother, JB, is a chairman of one of Hillary's campaigns. So what the Pritzkers have done is they have bought two horses in a two-horse race. As I say with a little bit of humor, if Barack Obama wins, Penny can take her younger brother to the inaugural ball and sit at the head table. If Hillary wins, JP says, I'll take my sister. Both of them are going, you know, they're both going to go to the inaugural ball. It's just who's escorting who.
Well, this reminds me of the Fon Yule brothers. Are you familiar with them?
No.
They're sugar barons from Florida. They are anti-Castro activists in that community. And one of them donates oodles of cash to Democrats, and the other donates oodles of cash to Republicans. They've got it covered.
Well, they're smart people.
Yeah. Now, tell us a little bit about the history of the Superior Bank of Chicago and the circumstances under which the Pritzkers came to control it.
Well, the Superior Bank was earlier called Lion Savings and Loan in Chicago. And Lion Savings and Loan was one of the disastrous failures in the savings and loan scandal. Now, the Reagan administration knew the savings and loans were going to implode, but they wanted to hold off letting the public know until Bush got into office. Reagan wanted to walk away from it because he's the one that signed the Garnsey-Germain bill, which really created the savings and loan problem.
That's right.
So, as a matter of fact, if you remember, is when he signed that bill, his famous comment is on tape, "I think we've hit the jackpot." That's one of his famous lines from the Garnsey-Germain Act in the Rose Garden.
Right.
Anyway, Lion Savings Loan was a $2 billion thrift that was horribly in trouble, and M. Danny Wall, acting as the chairman of the Federal Home Loan Bank Board, had to get rid of approximately five or six savings and loans that were so large, the insurance company, the FISLIC insurance company, couldn't pay off the depositors.
Mm-hmm.
So they went to Ron Perlman, they went to the Bass Brothers, they went to Ford Motor Credit, and they came to the Pritzkers and offered them all different deals to take these off their hands. Most of them, all they had to do was put up the capital, and by supplying the capital to recapitalize it, they would get all the deposits. The government would take back all the bad loans, and they would just get the deposits.
Mm-hmm.
But the Pritzkers, being smarter than anybody else, realizing that M. Danny Wall was running out of time, and he had to do this deal before midnight, December 31st, 1988, they upped the ante, and they negotiated for tax credits. And they said, we'll recapitalize the thrift. We'll put up $42.5 million to recapitalize it, but we want some tax credits.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pritzkers love tax credits more than any other family loves tax credits.
Well, they've got all those hotels that throw off a lot of cash.
Well, actually, if you ever read the story, Pritzker versus Pritzker in Forbes magazine, you'll realize that virtually all of the Pritzker enterprises are owned by offshore holding companies.
Mm-hmm.
The Pritzkers are just geniuses in finance.
Yeah.
So they extracted from M. Danny Wall, the deal was, we'll put up $1 million in cash. We'll pledge $41.5 million in our own securities if the capital is ever needed. And then we want back $645 million in tax credits. And I talked to the chief economist for the Federal Home Loan Bank Board, who was in on that deal, and he explained that those tax credits were structured so they could be used for any entity the Pritzkers wanted.
Mm-hmm.
The tax credits didn't go to benefit Lion Savings and Loan. They could go to any personal private taxes they had to pay, any business tax they had to pay. And as you may know, when you have tax credits, it's really just a direct gift certificate to whatever your tax bill is.
Exactly. It's not a deduction. It is a credit. It's a credit against taxes owed.
And it's the same as cash because you can file your back taxes and get a refund.
That's right.
Or you can bank them and use it for further tax liabilities you have.
Mm-hmm.
So in essence, for $1 million to avoid the scandal for the Reagan administration, the government gave them $645 million back. Now, if you'll take for a second, the Pritzkers are one of the best investors in America, and given them a very low yield of 11% annually, and they do much better than 11% annually, their money doubles every 2 years. So that $645 million in tax credits in the 14 years that they had the thrift became almost $3 billion. So a great part of the whole Pritzker enterprise is based on the tax credits they got from acquiring Lion Savings Loan, which they renamed Superior.
And it's roughly a fifth of the total fortune. Is that right? $15 billion is the round number applied to the whole fortune?
Right. So about a fifth of their fortune was given to them by the taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
Because tax credits really come out of the taxpayers' pocket.
Yeah.
But then they took the institution and just looted it by paying themselves large dividends up to their holding company. And they paid themselves so many dividends to their holding company that the OTS finally had to come in and say, your accounting standards are wrong. You're going to have to write down some of the things you've done in case of their subprime mortgages, and therefore you have no capital. So you're going to have to recapitalize the institution. They said they would, And then 6 months later, they said, nah, we decided we won't. You can have it.
Mm-hmm.
So they gave it up. Now, what is not widely known is that was the second savings and loan that Priskers and their partner Dwarman got. They'd actually done this once before with a savings and loan in New York called East River Savings Bank.
Oh.
So this is the second time the Priskers knew how to get a free bank from mm-hmm. the government and then loot it.
Well, and they have the model of Neil Bush, who got oodles of money out of Silverado Savings and Loan. And when that one was taken over by the old Resolution Trust Corporation, I think the tab was about $2 billion.
Well, but the tab was to the taxpayers.
Correct.
The Priskers decided to take the money themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you mentioned Charles Keating in your intro. Well, Charles Keating is, people may have had the Keating Five, which were the five senators that Charles Keating wanted to enroll to help him out with his problems with the government.
Including John McCain, most
including
notably.
Including John McCain, right.
Mm-hmm.
But the Priskers take that to a factor of 10. They have turned around, and they have aligned themselves with the next president of the United States, if a Democrat wins, and the odds are that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
So this is sheer genius on this family to get themselves at the head table where they literally can have the absolute cover.
Now, I want to go into a little more detail, but, Tim, before listeners drift away or we go to a break, I want to get really clear about one issue here, and that is, to what extent is Penny Pritzker a player in the Obama campaign, and does she influence policy? As a finance chair, she's out there to shake the trees and get money from her friends. But is there linkage to Penny Pritzker and policy decisions that have been made by Senator Obama or that are aspects of his platform running for president?
If you are the national finance chairman, you're at a very, very high level besides raising money.
It's true.
So, yeah, your listeners should be remembered that on Christmas Day this year, Warren Buffett bought 60% of one of the Prisker enterprises called the Marmon Group. So the Priskers have now aligned themselves. Basically, they've hired Warren Buffett to manage one of their divisions.
Hmm.
So this is a very, very well-connected, very influential family.
Okay. And what has been the reaction of the Obama campaign? Do they argue that she's raising money, but he's independent and he makes his own decisions about predatory lending, the subprime meltdown, whether to bail out hedge funds, those sort of things?
He actually has not addressed this question. Dennis Bernstein, who really broke the story, I had written an economic paper back in 2003 on the failure of Superior Bank that I presented in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And then David Mulberg, who is a freelance writer and writes for In These Times in Chicago, had wrote a story, and Dennis Bernstein, actually, I guess he's across the bay from you.
Yes, Bernstein is a man I know. He does the afternoon newscast and a program called Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio.
Well, I had worked with him back in the savings loan era. I think I did about 7 or 8 shows with him back then when Henry Hyde was impeaching the president.
Mm-hmm.
Because as some of the listeners may remember, Henry Hyde was a director of a failed savings loan.
That is correct.
So that was the story, how I met Dennis. So Dennis called me a couple weeks ago because he connected the dots from Mulberg's story that he read online and wanted to know more. So I sent him a copy of my paper, sent him some more documentation, and he finally figured it out that this is the story of the Pritzker family getting protection from Hillary and Barack Obama not to be held accountable.
And I want to direct our listeners who are familiar with Robert Perry to the website consortiumnews.com. Dennis Bernstein's article is posted there, dated February 28th, and it's entitled Obama's Subprime Conflict.
Now, in that, you'll read about a Clint Crisloff. Clint Crisloff is a Chicago attorney that represents the 1,406 uninsured depositors. These were the people that were duped by the Pritzker organization to put more than $100,000 into the institution. And in interviewing many of them, it was disclosed that universally, when they asked the new accounts people, I'm a little nervous because I'm putting more than $100,000 in, are you sure it's safe? And each one was instructed to state, you don't have to worry. This institution is owned by the Pritzker family, and they would never let it fail.
Mm.
So based on the power of the Pritzker name, which is well known in Chicago.
Oh, indeed, yeah.
And Superior was just a local Chicago institution. They did a lot of broker deposits around the country. So the people, 1,406, when it failed, were out $50 million.
All right, I need to pause there. Tim Anderson will continue in just a moment. We're talking about the wealthy Pritzker family, their connections foremost to the Obama campaign and to the Clinton campaign, and what this means for the candidates' positions on subprime mortgages, hedge funds, and the way many people are being foreclosed out of their homes. If you've got a question or comment, bring it on now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. More in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Good afternoon. Happy Friday. Checking traffic on KRXA and not looking too bad for a Friday. Just one accident out there. This is northbound 9 at Skyline Boulevard up in Boulder Creek. A motorcycle apparently down. The driver may have gone off the roadway and into a ditch. Emergency crews on the scene partially blocking the roadway, so be prepared for delays there. We do have reports of a stall. This is in Carmel, northbound 1. Before you get to Carmel Valley Road, the right lane is partially blocked. A tow truck is on the scene. Look for a little bit of delay in both directions as you approach the scene. 17 going through the Santa Cruz Mountains currently. Checks in, stall and accident free. Of course, southbound 17 onto southbound Highway 1 in Santa Cruz. You are seeing that heavy traffic, especially through the construction zone there. For Santa Cruz itself, northbound 1, the Emmeline Avenue off-ramp, that's still shut down for some road work. Highway 68 currently checking in, stall and accident free. This traffic report brought to you by Carfax. Airbags save thousands of lives in the Monterey area every year. Are the airbags in the used car you're buying working? Step 1 to finding out. Ask to see the Carfax vehicle history report before you buy or go to Carfax.com. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Hi, I'm John.
And I'm John.
And we're from All Class Transportation, where we take you to your special event in style, comfort, and safety. All Class Transportation is a truly professional local luxury transportation company with over 25 years of combined managerial service, an efficient, proactive staff, trained, certified chauffeurs, and a fleet of well-maintained luxury vehicles. We are well-suited to meet and exceed your specific needs.
All Class Transportation specializes in personalized luxury transportation, including company parties, corporate events, weddings, quinceañeras, whatever your needs, call All Class Transportation at 831-582-9338. That's 582-9338. Want to know about our rates? At All Class Transportation, our service and rates are second to none, period. We are All Class Transportation, TCP 22978A. Call us at 831-582-9338. That's 582-9338.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're exploring connections between the super wealthy Pritzker family of Chicago and Senators Barack Obama and, to a lesser extent, Hillary Clinton. But it is interesting that members of the Pritzker family have kind of fanned out and are hedging their bets, supporting the two leading Democratic candidates for the nomination this year. Tim Anderson is with us. He is a Chicago-based specialist in banking regulation, and he covered the savings and loan meltdown in the 80s and has been watching these events with the Pritzker family and the Superior Bank of Chicago, which went under in 2001. With over $1 billion in insured and uninsured deposits, Penny Pritzker was the chair of the board of that financial institution, and she is now the national finance chair of the Obama campaign. And, Tim, I agree with you that on this basis, Obama should demand her resignation and not permit himself to be tainted. But tell me what you think the influence has been on the campaign level. We have heard Obama talk about foreclosure issues, but I really haven't seen him actively take on issues like predatory lending and directly take on hedge funds and other investors who have profited from the mess that's been created.
Well, originally he did talk about predatory lending. Then I can only surmise it was brought to his point that his finance chairman had the leading predatory lending operation of the country. So he decided maybe he ought to back off that one so shows like yours wouldn't be created in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you talk about the hedge fund problem, your listeners ought to focus that the subprime mortgage mess is because of the securitization of mortgages. Many of the investment banks in New York took pools of 2,000 mortgages, packaged them together, and then sold them as a bond. Now, the bonds were sold to the Florida Teachers Retirement Fund, the Pittsburgh Medical Retirement Fund, the California Municipal Retirement Fund. Many of the pension funds bought all these bonds that have the subprime mortgages in it. What the Pritzkers did very early on in the late 90s, they went to Merrill Lynch and they convinced Merrill Lynch to, along with Ernst & Young, their accountants, to create this bond system. It had been designed probably before them, but no one had brought it to the level they did. And they were the ones that created this. Now, by taking $2 billion in deposits, lending them out in mortgages, they could sell the bonds, they get the $2 billion back. So for a period of years, they made 50, 60, probably over $100 billion in mortgages. So that's the size of the bonds that are floating around out there.
Mm-hmm.
But these bonds were made with predatory subprime mortgages, and the reason they're called predatory is, in this case, they had caveats that even though you had a high rate, if you wanted to refinance your loan, you had a large prepayment penalty.
That's right.
So you were locked in. Well, that's predatory when you lock someone in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Superior Bank just used insured deposits to fund these. But the Pritzkers had in their holding company a thing called Alliance Funding. And Alliance Funding had nationwide offices all over the country, late-night television advertising, going after the people that had been disenfranchised and couldn't get a home. And as I've said before, where people wanted a shot at the American dream, and those that have defended subprime and predatory lending have said, but this gives the disadvantaged a chance at the American dream. Well, in the case of the Pritzker operation, their whole nationwide mortgage origination program under Alliance Funding, what they did is they took people that had the American dream and then refinanced them into the American nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
So this entire subprime mortgage meltdown comes back to the people that really made it what it is today, and that was the Pritzkers. Now, they got out. By 2002, they were out. They let the government bail them out
mm-hmm.
and let all their money, and then they've stuck the rest of the world with it. What is significant in the suit that was filed representing the 1406, the Pritzkers negotiated with the FDIC that if the FDIC would sue their auditors, they would get 25% or whatever the FDIC required. Mm-hmm. Ordinarily, the FDIC should have said, no, we're suing you and your auditors. But the Pritzkers purchased from the FDIC the right to get 25% of whatever the FDIC got from Ernst & Young. And it turned out to be a $31 million rebate check to the Pritzkers. That check went to the Pritzkers while the uninsured depositors are still out, currently over $20 million, and they'll never see all their money. So the Pritzkers purchased their position ahead of the depositors, and that's never happened in the history of this country in a bankruptcy situation where stockholders can purchase their way ahead of creditors.
Well, Tim, this is a real eye-opener, and there's a whole separate soap opera underway as there's an intergenerational battle for the fortune of the Pritzker family, and the current young generation feels that their elders have mismanaged the money and denied them their rightful inheritance.
That's the famous Liesel and Matthew Pritzker, the Pritzker versus Pritzker story that you can read in Forbes magazine from about 3 years ago. And that's what really brought the Pritzkers to light. And after they had the problem with Superior Bank. Now, Superior Bank was owned by the entire family. J.P. was an owner of J.B. was an owner of Superior. Penny was the chairman.
Right.
But all the siblings were the owners. So it was a family-owned business. It wasn't Penny's. It was just hers to run.
Mm-hmm.
But she was running on behalf of Liesl, Matthew, and everyone else.
Well, there's a lot more to the story, and I want to thank you for introducing it to us, Tim Anderson from Chicago. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Nice to talk with you. Well, that's different, isn't it? We're going to take a break and return. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com will join us. And David Earnhardt, producer, director of Uncounted, the documentary, he'll be with us next hour, too. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Podcasts at peterbcollins.com. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. said.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Consumer spending is stalled, consumer confidence is down in the dumps, and so is Wall Street. With the loss of 315 points today, the Dow finished the month at 12,266, lower than where it started. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus has been following all this.
It was the stock market's fourth straight monthly drop. And the problem is the Fed has been aggressively cutting interest rates. And there's this belief that pretty soon those interest rate cuts will start to kick in and things will get better. But instead, the complications are not diminishing. They're growing.
The price of crude oil slipped back today, settling in New York at $101.74 an ounce. It's a showdown between Congress and the executive branch. Attorney General Michael Mukasey says White House Chief of Staff Josh Bolton and former counsel Harriet Myers committed no crime when they refused to cooperate with a House investigation into the firings of federal prosecutors. He's refusing to refer contempt citations to a grand jury. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has authorized the Judiciary Committee to sue Bolton and Myers in federal court. 4 days before the must-win primaries, Hillary Clinton's campaign is running a new ad in Texas that puts the experience factor in stark terms. The scenario, a national security crisis in the middle of the night.
It's 3 a.m., and your children are safe and asleep. Who do you want answering the phone?
Barack Obama says Clinton's trying to scare up votes.
I don't think these ads will work this time, because the question is not about picking up the phone. The question is, what kind of judgment will you exercise when you pick up that phone?
He accuses Clinton of bad judgment for supporting the invasion of Iraq. The Obama campaign has an ad that says, in a dangerous world, it's judgment that matters. CBS News correspondent Mark Nola reports plagiarism has cost a presidential aide his job.
A White House statement says President Bush accepted the resignation of Tim Gagline, a special assistant and deputy director of public liaison. He was accused of plagiarism in columns he wrote for his hometown newspaper in Indiana. A spokesman says President Bush was disappointed and saddened to learn of the matter, but that Gagline has apologized for not upholding the standards expected by Mr. Bush. Mark Miller, CBS News, with the president in Crawford, Texas.
Mr. Bush is hosting the Danish prime minister at his ranch this weekend. AT&T Mobility, formerly Singular, has agreed to give refunds to cell phone customers in Florida who bought ringtones and other services that were advertised as free. State Attorney General Bill McCollum says this settlement could cost the company more than $10 million.
They're going out to Florida customers in the next 60 days and tell them about this and give them the opportunity to seek a refund, a 100% refund for whatever they claim is the unbilled charges, and they're not going to question it.
AT&T Mobility says the problem is industry-wide. It was only billing customers for services offered by third-party providers. This is CBS News.
What if I told you buying a good used car just got a whole lot easier? And what if you could know the history, mileage, and price of that used car long before you even go to the dealership? Well, here's the answer. Simply go online and search Yahoo for Honda certified used cars. You'll see the current selection at the Honda dealers nearest you, along with the information you need to make an informed decision. Feels good to be in control, doesn't it? Okay, no more questions. Honda certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
Guys, today is the day to go for the gold. Find a great selection of gold toe socks at the men's store inside JCPenney. Treat your feet to the gold standard in durability and quality. Thursday to Sunday, take advantage of buy one pack, get the second pack 50% off for all gold toe athletic, casual, and dress socks. Plus, hurry in Friday and Saturday for the extreme sale and get great deals on the clothes you need. The men's store inside JCPenney makes it easy to get in, find it, and get out. JCPenney.
At a court hearing in San Francisco today, a judge tossed back the indictment of Barry Bonds, but that doesn't mean he's out of the woods. KCBS Radio's Bob Melrose explains.
During the 20-minute hearing, Judge Susan Ilston said the slugger is being accused of telling as many as five different lies in each count of the indictment. Only one is allowed per count. The government will have to restructure the indictment, something that happens often, or impanel another grand jury and obtain a superseding indictment. Bond's attorney, Dennis Reardon.
The point that we made is that the rules say that you can't charge two crimes in one count. It's absolutely clear.
The judge has ordered everyone back to court in 3 weeks to hear what the government will do. Bob Melrose, CBS News, San Francisco.
2 years ago, images from Mars appeared to show evidence that water once flowed on the red planet. Now, after further study, scientists say the gullies were more likely formed by a landslide. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Well, I was shopping for a new car. Which one's me? A cool convertible or an SUV? Too bad I didn't know my credit was whack, because now I'm driving off the lot in a used subcompact FREE. That spells free. CreditReport.com, baby. Saw their ads on my TV. Thought about going, but was too lazy. Now instead of looking fly and rolling fat, my legs are sticking to the vinyl and my posse's getting laughed at. FREE. That spells free. CreditReport.com, baby.
Offer applies to enrollment and Triple Advantage.
Looking to diversify your portfolio? It's time to start trading foreign currencies at Forex.com. In these financial times, diversification is key. At Forex.com, we give you the tools you need to expand your investment portfolio beyond stocks and into the OTC foreign exchange market. Start trading foreign currencies 24 hours a day, 5 days a week. Go to Forex.com, open a free practice account today, and test your trading strategies risk-free. When you're ready, just click and trade. Forex.com.
Forex is an over-the-counter market and involves significant risk of loss.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
This is how we do it.
Yeah, this is how we do it. You get these electronic voting machines that are hackable, and you deploy them and see what happens.
This is how we do it. It's Friday night, and I feel all right. The party's here on the west side, so I reach for my 40 and I turn it up. Designated driver, take the keys to my truck. Get the shot, cause I'm faded. Honey's in the streets, say money, oh, we made it. It feels so good in my hood tonight. The summertime starts.
Oh, things are good in my hood tonight. It is a Friday night. Things have cooled off here in San Francisco, where we had 75-degree temperatures yesterday. It was really a cold snap into the 60s today. And I hope that isn't too painful for people in other parts of the country to hear about. Brad Friedman joins us as usual here to talk about election issues, and there is no shortage. Bradness, how are you?
I'm doing okay. You're right. There is no shortage, I'm sorry to say.
Well, we've got things planned for this hour. A little bit later, David Earnhardt will join us once again. He's the producer, director, filmmaker of Uncounted, and that is the movie that features Brad Friedman and other election protection activists around the country. And, in fact, I've got a couple of DVDs that we'll give away. And there's a screening in San Francisco this Sunday, and we'll talk about that with David. I'm going to be there to introduce him and to do a little Q&A with members of the audience. And so we want to invite you out there to the Red Vic Theater. Number of showings going on this coming Sunday. And also I want to talk about Sarasota. There was finality and not a happy ending for Christine Jennings, a decision made by the House of Representatives Administration Committee earlier this week. Want to talk about the double bubble ballot trouble in your Los Angeles, Brad, that afflicted the Super Tuesday count. But just before we went on the air, Brian relayed to me that there's breaking news from Ohio, so break it.
Well, we do have a bit of breaking news there, and in fact some breaking news on the Los Angeles double bubble situation as well. I'll give you Ohio first. You know, they're moving, well, their primary is coming up Tuesday, and once again everything seems to be coming down to Ohio. Why that is, I don't know, but it is. And in Cuyahoga County, which is Cleveland, the largest, most populous county out there, they are in the process of moving to a new paper ballot optical scan system implemented after Jennifer Brunner's, Secretary of State Jennifer Brunner's massive test of the voting systems out there found that, as usual, they all failed. And so she instructed counties to move to paper ballot systems. Cuyahoga County is moving to a paper ballot system from the previous touchscreen system, and today they held their first public tests of the new optical scanners. How do you think it went, Peter?
Oh, I bet they had about a 14% error rate.
Well, in fact, the new op scanners could not read the ballots at all on the first test. And so they did a second test, and they failed again. And we've got late word tonight that the third time was a charm, and the pretest of the optical scan systems, this time they were, in fact, able to read ballots in Cuyahoga County. The Board of Elections is reporting tonight that previous tests of the scanner, you know, before these official public tests, had been successful. They have no idea why they suddenly started failing today in the first official public tests. So that's where we are. And you may consider that either bad news or good news. I leave it up to you.
Well, on the Air America show I did last night, I spoke with Bob Fetrakis, our colleague and election activist based in Columbus, Ohio. He and Harvey Wasserman did that forensic analysis of 2004 and identified all of the points where problems occurred and the election, in my view, was stolen. And he articulated the same issue. He said he was very worried about Cuyahoga County and that these optical scanners are new equipment and slightly, you know, favored over the direct record electronic, the DREs, but still with their own set of issues.
Well, they certainly have their own set of issues, and I parted company with a lot of my fellow election integrity advocates here who did not want want the move in Cuyahoga. It was Brunner finished her test up. I'm trying to remember. I think it was September or October.
Yeah, it's called Everest.
Everest. Mm-hmm. That's right. It's an acronym for something, but
yeah.
Everest is quite apt. Given that she found the problems with the touchscreen DRE system, she had she did not decertify them, but she recommended that everyone move away from them. And in Cuyahoga County, there was a tie, essentially, on they have these four-person election boards, theoretically two Democrats and two Republicans on each. And in this case, they had a vote whether to move to the new paper ballot system or not. The vote tied, and in that case, the Secretary of State comes in and breaks the tie. She broke the tie in favor of going to op scan. Now, a lot of my fellow election integrity advocates thought that was crazy, and they wanted her to stick with the DREs, wanted Cuyahoga to stick with the DREs for the primary at least, so as to not cause chaos in the short time that they had to switch to this new system. I disagree. I think it's always better to have a paper ballot. Frankly, yeah. Even if you have chaos, I'd like to think you can clean it up after the election. So I disagreed with them. I think going to OpScan was a good idea. That said, little surprise that we're seeing now problems with the OpScanners. This happens all the time with OpScan systems. And, in fact, Peter, you may recall in Sacramento, they had a similar problem just before the Super Tuesday primary when suddenly the scanners that had always worked before, in their tests at least, suddenly they couldn't make them work, so yeah. They had to go to a completely different system just prior to that election.
Well, and I discussed with Bob Fitrakis last night a story that came in yesterday from a town where I have a little history, Little Kenton, Ohio. It's the whole county's like 50,000. And I got my radio start there at WKTN when I was like 17. And they have a problem there because the Republican chair of the county election board differed with Jennifer Bruner on this very issue. And he did not want to move to the optical scan system. He also had an issue about who was going to pay for it. And Bruner fired him the other day.
Yeah, and of course not for that reason only, but there was a move by the Republican election officials. It was pretty incredible, actually. They all banded together and had quite literally a secret meeting. They put out the word, please don't let people know about this meeting. And all of the Republican election directors got together to discuss their strategy on how to combat Jennifer Bruner, essentially. This was within the last month or so, mm-hmm. And what they were going to do. And, in fact, most of the Republican officials said, no, we're going to stick with the touchscreen machines where they had them. And it was pretty extraordinary. There was a video which showed someone trying to get into that meeting and saying, hey, this is public officials. It was actually a Democrat, was party chair or something, was trying to get into the meeting saying, hey, these are public officials. Why isn't this a public meeting? These are election officials. They're not supposed to be partisan. What's going on here? And, of course, they threw him out of the meeting. So there is a bit of an uprising, a mutiny, if you will, or maybe we'll call it gently pushback from those election officials, the Republican election officials, who don't like the fact that there's a Democratic Secretary of State there who is actually paying attention and trying, at least, to assure that votes are counted accurately.
And Brad, Bob Fitrakis said that overall he is not terribly confident about a really smooth, clean election in Ohio on Tuesday.
That's putting it very nicely. Yeah, I think there's every reason to be quite nervous about what could happen on Tuesday. As a matter of fact, you had mentioned the screening of Uncounted up in San Francisco. I'm not going to be there, unfortunately, for that, but there is one the following week. Out in Area 2, actually, in Phoenix and in Tucson, that I'm going to try to get out to. I'd like to leave earlier. However, I think I am, as it is now, I'm currently planning to stay here the week of Super Tuesday, suspecting I may just be busy after that election next Tuesday.
Well, why not go to Ohio and be right at the epicenter, Brad?
Like, I don't have enough problems, Collins.
Come
what
on.
What are you trying to do to me here?
I'll set you up. You can stay at my mom's house.
Yeah, I know. By the way,
she's the last Democrat in Cincinnati.
Is that right? I did mean to blame you for all of this trouble going on in Ohio, since that's where you hail from. So I do think it is your fault.
Yeah, but I got the hell out of there a long time ago. All right, we're going to take a break and come back, talk about the Sarasota decision. We'll also talk about Double Bubble in Los Angeles and take your phone calls, too. A couple of people on the line already, so join them. Toll free at 888-5, Peter B., 888-573-8372. And I have a personal message for Alan Weissman, who listens to us on KSAC in Sacramento. Alan, the other night I gave you a DVD on Air America, and I've lost your mailing address. So if you'll call in today and give that to Brian, I'll make sure you get one. Alan Weissman of Sacramento, or somebody posing as Alan, okay? 888-5 Peter B. That's our toll-free number. More with Brad Friedman in just a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi there, KRXA listeners. This is Hal on behalf of the Central Avenue Bakery. Tina and her staff want to thank all of you for becoming regulars at the Central Avenue Bakery at 173 Central Avenue in beautiful Pacific Grove. February is a special month at the Central Avenue Bakery as they celebrate Valentine's Day with an Italian buffet and a free glass of wine with every dinner. Space is limited, so make your reservations for Valentine's Day now. Then, at the end of February, Central Avenue Bakery celebrates its third anniversary with live music, free food, and prizes. Enjoy organic foods, pastries, and coffee. They also have a gluten-free menu and many organic gluten-free pastries. Stop by one of my favorite restaurants, the Central Avenue Bakery in Pacific Grove, today.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Checking traffic on KRXA. A couple of new problems popping up here in Carmel. Highway 1 at Ocean Avenue. Looks like we have an accident with a couple of cars. That is off to the right-hand shoulder. Crazy Horse Canyon Road at 101 and Oak Tree down. The westbound lane of Crazy Horse Canyon Road currently blocked. Northbound 101 after recircle. CHP reports we have somebody walking in the turn lane there. Definitely drive with caution. Better news up in Santa Cruz Mountains. Northbound 17 after Redwood Estates. A solo overturn car cleared to the right-hand shoulder. Looks like emergency crews are on the scene, but heavy traffic as you're approaching the scene. Going southbound as you head on to southbound Highway 1 in Santa Cruz, you are going to see some heavy traffic through the construction zone. Highway 68, a good drive right now. No stalls or accidents. And Highway 1 northbound, the Emmeline Avenue off-ramp in Santa Cruz, shut down for road work. That goes on until this summer, so be prepared for delays there. This is brought to you by Carfax. Airbags save thousands of lives in the Monterey area every year. Are the airbags in the used car you're buying working? Step one to finding out. Ask to see a Carfax vehicle history report before you buy, or go to Carfax.com. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. A tip of the hat on my bald head to our new listeners in Missoula, Montana, Portland, Oregon on the weekends at KPOJ, and our brand new station, Seattle, Washington, KPTK, AM 1090, Progressive Talk. Great to have you all with us. And if you're not listening live, you can still communicate with us. Drop me an email. It's peter@peterbcollins.com. We continue our weekly deep briefing on election issues with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. And up next, we want to talk about the debacle in Sarasota.
Welcome
the courthouse, heard the people say, something rotten happened here on election day. The judge said, sorry people, you can't look at what's inside. These machines are corporate secrets. This ain't the time for civic pride. If you wanna be a voter, don't count on Sarasota. Because the judge here told us your vote doesn't have to count. 18,000 votes are missing. Is anybody listening? Electronic voting's in. Democracy is out.
Well, Brad, they slammed the book shut on the Sarasota challenge presented by Christine Jennings against Vern Buchanan. And that was the race that was originally decided by some 380-plus votes.
369.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
He's accurate. And some 18,000 votes are recorded under votes. People voted for dog catcher or county assessor but didn't bother to vote for a member of Congress. And that rate of undervoting was deeply at variance from the undervoting in the absentee ballots and in other areas of the district in the very same county.
Yeah, there was obviously a very bad election there. And when they went to court down in Florida, even the one expert put forward by the voting machine company admitted that had there not been problems with those voting machines, Christine Jennings, the Democrat, would have won the election. Nonetheless, we've been, what are we going on, 2 years now?
Just about.
With the Republican sitting in there, voting in the House of Representatives. And this week, the report came back from the GAO, who had been tasked by the House Administration Committee to look into this matter and investigate it, after Jennings filed a federal Contested Elections Act contest there. The GAO report came back, said, basically, we don't know what happened. We can't prove it was the machines. We can't prove it wasn't the machines. And so the Democrats said, well, that's good enough for us. And they voted unanimously to throw out the election contest out of the U.S. House of Representatives.
And the shameful thing to me was that the way the story was covered, there were two quotes, and I don't have it in front of me right now, but both from Republicans, both who just dismissed and said, oh, no problem, we looked at it, and gosh, it's a fair election, and Vern Buchanan deserves his seat, case closed. And to me, what was stunning was that there were no quotes from Democrats of any sort.
I don't blame them. I suspect they were in hiding.
Well, it's called radio silence.
That's right. And, how do you say, you know, what could they possibly say to explain that vote? I mean, previously, in that same 2006 election, there was five total, if I recall the number correctly, five total election challenges, four of them in Florida. They threw out all but Christine Jennings' challenge, and the way it looks to me, they could have saved a few million dollars of just throwing hers out right from the get-go, because clearly their investigation was not about getting to the bottom of this matter and finding out what happened. The test by the GAO, according to activists down in Florida, the election integrity folks down there, the test was flawed. They didn't actually look at the machines that were used in the election. And, you know, just frankly, another sham. I'm sorry to report, and I'm sorry to report once again, it was the Democrats who let us down.
Yeah, indeed. Devorah in Eureka, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Brad Friedman. Oh, Devorah, turn that radio down. I can hear it
yes,
in the background.
I'm here, Peter B.
Okay, go right ahead.
And good evening, Brad. I just saw the documentary Hacking Democracy.
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody heard of it?
Oh, yeah. You bet we have.
Well, it was a revelation to me, and it just completely made me wonder about what's going to happen in the upcoming election. Hacking memory cards.
Yep.
The precinct ID memory cards that were not supposed to be hackable. She showed, you know, if you've seen the documentary, you saw how she methodically went through the entire process.
Right, and she went through every dumpster, too.
Every dumpster, exactly. And she tracked various counties, California and Florida.
And let's put a name on it. It's Bev Harris, not just she.
It's Bev Harris. And her colleagues and her tech team stem from a site called blackboxvoting.com, and so you can read all about it and see all of her...
Blackboxvoting.org, very important.
Excuse me, .org, that's right. There's a different site for .com. But anyway, I was just... She's such a patriot, and she did such an incredible job.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see the documentary, you'll see what she has to bulldoze her way through, and she does it with grace and finesse.
Now, Devorah, I'm tight for time. Do you have a DVD player?
I do.
Can I send you a copy of the new documentary called Uncounted?
Oh, thank you, Peter B.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, hold on here, and Brian will get your address. And
excellent.
I'll be doing a trip to the post office Monday. I went there today, but it was a half-hour line, so no packages were mailed if you're expecting one from me. Brad, stay with us. David Earnhardt, the producer, director, filmmaker of Uncounted, is going to join us after the break, and we'll take more phone calls, too. And eventually this hour, we'll get to that double bubble trouble in Los Angeles. It's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Grab the podcast and send it to a friend. The link's on the homepage at PeterBCollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Jim Moore Income Tax in Watsonville has been helping Monterey Bay Area residents with personal income tax preparation for more than 20 years. And this year, Manager Juan Gonzalez is prepared to assist all taxpayers take advantage of tax credits and rebates especially targeted for the eco-minded. The staff of Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in fast, professional income tax preparation at a very reasonable price. Do you have a naughty tax problem? Let Juan Gonzalez and his staff provide the expert assistance you need. Jim Moore Income Tax is located at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. This year, let Juan Gonzalez show you where the green is for green living taxpayers. Visit Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville. Be sure to take copies of your 2006 tax return and all of your 2007 W-2s and 1099s. Remember Jim Moore Income Tax for all of your tax preparation needs.
Friday, 8:00 a.m.
Very disturbed by your position about Ralph Nader. I think he's anything but an egomaniac, and I feel that your attitude is extremely ignorant of progressive politics, the need for other parties to combat the corporate hold on Democrats and Republicans, and it's ridiculous to say Ralph Nader should be fighting within the Democratic Party. Corporations have taken over our country. Hello, wake up, Hal.
End of messages.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. More with Brad Friedman this half hour from bradblog.com. Your comments and questions are welcome at 888-5-PETER-B. Well, Elvis didn't tell me this, but a little birdie named Jason Leopold, who joins us every week on this program, independent investigative reporter, just sent me this story. The new Attorney General, Michael Mukasey, late Friday, when he hoped nobody would notice, has refused to refer congressional contempt citations against President Bush's chief of staff, Josh Bolton, and the former counsel and would-be Supreme Court Justice Harriet Myers to a federal grand jury. This was a demand from Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, and the Republicans are saying, niet, niet, niet. We'll get more on that later, but I wanted to break it to you now. And Mukasey wrote to Pelosi, the contempt of Congress statute was not intended to apply and could not constitutionally be applied to an executive branch official who asserts the president's claim of executive privilege. Sounds like BS to me. But, of course, if impeachment were on the table, gee, even if it were just on the night table, it might be a little different chemistry there. We're joined now by David Earnhardt, the filmmaker, producer, and director of Uncounted, the new documentary that talks about election issues in this country. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Peter B.
Good to talk with you. And, of course, Brad's on with us, who is a participant in the film.
Yes, but please see it anyway. I have to point that out. I feel it's necessary.
And, David, you're going to hop a bird from Nashville and come out to San Francisco for some special screenings of Uncounted at the Red Vic Theater in San Francisco this Sunday.
That's right. We've got four screenings there at 2, 4, 7, 15, and 9:30, and I just can't wait to come there. You know, we were there for the Oakland screening and just got such a great response that we just wanted to get right back there, and we've got some of the same people involved with us that were on board for that. And, of course, you're going to be there, Peter B., so.
That's right.
Really looking forward to that.
I'll be there for the first screening at 2 o'clock, and we'll introduce David and then watch the film and do some Q&A with the audience afterward. And I'm looking forward to that. And I want all of our Green 960 listeners who are hearing this very early on Saturday morning to roll yourselves out on Sunday and come over to the Red Vic Theater. It's a very powerful documentary and could not be more timely. Now, David, as you look out at the landscape and you see the election issues that have arisen already in the presidential primaries this year, what are some of the issues that are raised in the film that have actually shown up in reality in recent weeks?
Well, I mean, I was just listening to your conversation earlier, and I mean, that just brings out the biggest frustration in me, and I think a lot of us that work so hard on this issue, is to watch the Democratic Party just not go there. I mean, right, once again, with the Christine Jennings, they're not, as you mentioned, didn't even put a comment out about it. You don't even hear from them. You hear from the Republicans. Here, that was something that would clearly needed to be looked into, but they just won't go there. And I, you know, one of the ones they wouldn't go there at all was on Clint Curtis. I mean, Clint Curtis had affidavits from voters that were, he had more people saying they voted for him in some precincts than actual votes that came out for him. And that seem compelling enough that we are. I mean, nobody's ever done that way, gone out and got affidavits from voters, and they wouldn't even look at that. So, you know, to me, you know, Obama and Clinton both, they need to wake up. They need to look at this, because this issue is going to play a huge role in who gets elected president, how fair our elections are. And it's the Democrats that have gotten hurt the most, obviously, in the last 8 years. I'm just amazed they're asleep.
Yeah. Brad, you want to add a comment?
Yeah, well, yeah, actually I will, because David makes a very good point about, you know, you can look at Uncounted, the film, and it covers a lot of what had been, you know, for many years, this issue had been looked at as, you know, nonsense, conspiracy theory and stuff, and people didn't want to touch it. And then as the film progresses, and, you know, more and more tests and so forth have come out showing that there's problems with these systems, you realize, well, this isn't just nonsense and conspiracy theory stuff. This is very serious and legitimate stuff. Yet, taking into account the caller at the bottom of the hour there who talked about the other film, Hacking Democracy, you know, in that film, you actually see before your eyes a paper ballot optical scan system being hacked, you know, undeniably being hacked with the memory cards. And then we go right into the first primary of the year in New Hampshire. And 2 years after that hack you see in that film was made, they're still using the exact same equipment. And, you know, when I have, of course, the temerity to point out that, geez, maybe we should actually count some of those paper ballots to make sure the op scanners were correct, why everyone fired up all over again, this conspiracy theory talk. And frankly, this time, it came from Democrats, supposed progressives, who were calling me, you know, crazy and out of my mind for questioning that election. So this is a continuing fight. It is eternal vigilance here. And you get to see in David's film some of the, frankly, my hero.
Street, and I'll be there for the first screening and for Q&A afterward. So I hope you'll turn out for us, and we can share this powerful documentary with you.
Look forward to seeing everybody there.
Hey, good luck up there, guys. And David, I'll see you in a week or so for screening in Phoenix. And I just want to reiterate, I won't be in San Francisco, so it's a great time to get out and see the Uncounted.
But he's going to be in Phoenix on the 13th of March and in Tucson on the 11th of March, and come anyway.
There you go.
All right. He's really just going for the spring baseball, you know.
Right.
Thank you, guys.
All right, David, we'll see you Sunday. Thank you very much. Brad, let's take another call. Well, actually, we were just talking about scanners and some of those issues, and a woman who couldn't hold on from Sacramento was asking, you know, isn't a scanner a computer that needs to be programmed, and
yep.
therefore isn't it as susceptible to hacking as a DRE?
You bet it is, and that's why if you are going to use those things, there's a number of things you have to do. A, obviously, the entire system needs to be transparent in that, you know, there should be open source code and everything else if you're going to use that type of system. But given what we know, that they are hackable, as the caller had mentioned, you can see in HBO's Hacking Democracy, you need to do, at the very least, a robust post-election sampling audit of those paper ballots to make sure the machines haven't been hacked, and frankly, to make sure that they just that they just weren't wrong by error, which can easily happen with these voting systems as well. So, yeah, absolutely. If you're going to use these systems, you've got to have procedures in place to test and make sure that they actually counted the ballots accurately. And, of course, that was the point that I was trying to make up there about the New Hampshire primary, particularly where you had this, you know, stunning, that still no one's really been able to adequately explain, this stunning victory for Hillary Clinton after she was losing in all of these other polls. And, you know, you had the pollsters all who had almost virtually the same polls, you know, the scores of different pollsters,
right.
Yet they all had the same result. The only result that was different was the result of the actual election. And to suggest that, gosh, maybe we should make sure that result is correct, of course, you know, lit off a firestorm of folks, many folks who did take it to heart and got up there and tried to get those ballots counted. But many others who said, oh, that Brad Friedman is just crazy. Well, it's a tinfoil hat, I suppose, I have worn before, and I guess I should start wearing it proudly at this point.
Oh, you're crazy in a great way. Marianne in Arcata, join us. You're on with Peter B. and Brad.
Yes, hello. I don't know if this has been brought up today yet on your program, but I watched the 60 Minutes last Sunday with Governor Seligman.
Right.
Siegelman. I was not surprised on Monday when I heard you say that that whole segment had been blacked out in Huntsville, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And also that one could log on to CBS. So I did that, and I got on to the CBS 60 Minutes website, and there's a window for comments. So I left a comment, you know, quite a few lines there in that little window, and I asked them to air additional comments additional segments, and especially on the re-election fraud against Governor Seligman in the re-election election then in November of 2002.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if you ever heard anything about the public comments about that.
You mean public comments sent to CBS?
Yes.
Well, I don't have any feedback on that, but when we talked to Larissa Alexandrovna, who has been on the forefront of the Siegelman story at rawstory.com, she was encouraging people to contact CBS because she believes that there is more footage and more material and that they might do a follow-up story or package, as they call it in the TV biz. So that's where we're directing our efforts to try to get CBS to understand that we care about this story and we want to see more, and perhaps on a night when you don't have a big distraction or competition like the Oscars. Brad?
Right.
Yeah,
when they reran it. Yeah, absolutely.
I'll throw in a few points. Dan Abrams over on MSNBC has been doing some terrific follow-up reporting and advancing of that story. He's done three reports over the last week since the Sunday 60 Minutes show. We've got all of those videos at Bradblog. You can read them there. There's one element, however, that neither him nor neither Abrams nor 60 Minutes has touched, and that is that what happened in that 2002 election. We do have a link to the 2004 video of Siegelman, an interview with Siegelman, talking about what happened in that election and when the numbers were flipped in the middle of the night on the electronic voting machines in one of the counties. And he says, and I'm quoting here, quote, "Somebody electronically manipulated the election results. This election was stolen. There is no other kind or sugar-coated way to say it." A pretty startling charge, and if you look into the details of what seems to have happened that night, it's damned startling. And frankly, I'm a little bit surprised that that part of the that element of the story has yet to come out. I'm hopeful that it will, though, because I think at least Abrams seems to be continuing to bang this drum. So let's.
I do agree, Brad. That was a glaring omission on the 60 Minutes piece. Larissa thinks it may have been for timing reasons, but I believe they could have mentioned it in 3 seconds, just in passing.
Well, and, they called it a razor thin, a very close election in 2002, is the way they described it.
Marianne, would you like a copy of Uncounted on DVD?
Oh, I most certainly would.
Well, hold on. Brian will get your address, and next time I get to the post office, it'll be on its way to you, okay?
Okay. It will be here one day.
All right. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate that. We're going to take a break and return, and we will get that double bubble trouble from L.A. story up next from Brad here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA. A couple of new problems popping up here in Carmel. Highway 1 at Ocean Avenue. Looks like we have an accident with a couple of cars. That is off to the right-hand shoulder. Crazy Horse Canyon Road at 101 and Oak Tree down. The westbound lane of Crazy Horse Canyon Road currently blocked. Northbound 101 after recircle. CHP reports we have somebody walking in the turn lane there. Definitely drive with caution. Better news up in Santa Cruz Mountains. Northbound 17 after Redwood Estates. A solo overturn car cleared to the right-hand shoulder. Looks like emergency crews are on the scene, but heavy traffic as you're approaching the scene. Going southbound as you head on to southbound Highway 1 in Santa Cruz, you are going to see some heavy traffic through the construction zone. Highway 68, a good drive right now. No stalls or accidents. And Highway 1 northbound, the Emmeline Avenue off-ramp in Santa Cruz, shut down for road work. That goes on until this summer, so be prepared for delays there. This is brought to you by Carfax. Airbags save thousands of lives in the Monterey area every year. Are the airbags in the used car you're buying working? Step one to finding out, ask to see a Carfax vehicle history report before you buy, or go to Carfax.com. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
George Chavez of Chavez Jewelry Design specializes in recycling and restoring old jewelry, whether it's old broken jewelry or simply an item which no longer suits you. George invites you to actively participate in the creative process and to personally direct the creation of that special piece of jewelry that is truly and uniquely you. You'll find George weekdays 11 to 7 at Chavez Jewelry Design, 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville. Questions? Give George a call at 768-8004. That's 768-8004.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 9 minutes in front of the hour. This portion of our broadcast day is brought to you by the leading makers of ED.
Now this word from our sponsor. Have you lost your appetite for politics? Not interested in big elections? Do you feel ambivalent every 4 years? You may be suffering from electile dysfunction.
Well, you get the idea. That's the capital steps. And I want to turn to Brad now and find out about electile dysfunction in Los Angeles.
Yeah, we got plenty of it here, that's for sure. And it's getting worse tonight. We've been talking now for several weeks since the February 5th Super Tuesday election out here, and the problem we had down in L.A. County where nonpartisan voters were allowed to vote in the Democratic primary if they wanted to, or the American Independent Party primary if they wanted to, but on their nonpartisan ballot they had to check a second bubble to specify which of those two party primaries the vote should be counted in.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, well, a lot of people did not see that bubble, did not know that they had to fill in that second bubble, and it's meant that thousands, perhaps as many as 50,000 ballots, could not be counted by the machines because the first three bubbles were used by both Democratic candidates and American Independent Party candidates. Now, the registrar down here originally said it was impossible to determine the intent of the voters. Brad Blog quickly pointed out that it was not. If they checked the poll rosters, there was a way to cross-check them to determine essentially how most of those people voted. He didn't want to do it originally. Bowen came in to the rescue, told him to go look at those poll rosters, and this week he came back with a plan to count those ballots, although not all of them, just some of them, unfortunately. It's quite maddening, in fact, because the group Courage Campaign, who had done such a terrific job of getting the word out about this issue in the first place, has been running around yelling victory and that we won, and I would suggest it's a bit premature because the plan that Logan is going to use is going to throw out a lot of those ballots, and worse, in the precincts where it's hard to explain, but where the candidate happened to be on a bubble that did not cross over with the other party, he's going to count those. But in the very same precinct, if there was a possibility of any American Independent Party voters having voted there, he's going to not count the candidates on the bubbles that were used for both parties.
So now, that seems extremely arbitrary to me. Shouldn't the standard be that if they can discern the intent of the voter, that is sufficient, this idea that they had to get the bubble right and that people who... I mean, it just seems unfair in the way he's applying it.
It's insane. I mean, their point is that if there was an American Independent ballot in that batch, or you know, one or more, then they can't know for sure if the voter wanted the Democratic candidate or was voting for the American Independent Party candidate. Now, I proposed a plan to them that would take care of that problem and count virtually every single ballot accurately, 100%, as to California law and the California Constitution. So far, I've been ignored on that score. And late last night, I received a call from Judy Alter, an activist out here in L.A. County, who has been at the counting room pretty much every day since February 5th. And she found yet another anomaly that is going to mean that the thousands of more ballots won't be counted. Incredibly, with provisional ballots, they remade them. In other words, they actually copied down the information onto another ballot for the proper precinct. If the voter was, you know, a valid voter, but he voted in the wrong precinct, they copied down the information on another ballot. However, if the voter did not fill in the right that second bubble, then they didn't bother to put down their presidential selection on the remade ballot. So all of those ballots now, we have just learned late tonight, and I've been in touch with the Secretary of State's office all day and night here trying to figure this mess out, all of those ballots will not be counted, apparently, under the registrar's new bad scheme down here that is set to begin tomorrow, because Tuesday is the certification date. So this is just an absolute mess, Peter.
Wow. And she is estimating that 10,000 to 15,000 nonpartisan provisional ballots will remain uncounted?
That's right. It could be a 10,000 to 15,000. This is based on a real guess here. And I've had calls in all day to the various election officials. I have not been able to get a return call. I probably would not have run this article yet until I got to confirm one way or another on this issue. But given that they're going to start counting tomorrow morning at 7:30, certification day is Tuesday, I thought it was important to get this out ASAP.
Indeed.
So you can read all about it at the very top of Brad Blog tonight.
All right. And Stephen Watsonville said he only needs a minute, and that's all we got. Go, Steve.
Thanks, Peter. Brad, I've been Googling the polls for Texas and Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Ipsos, AP, CNN, them people all ask Hillary, Barack, other, or Edwards, for instance. Decision analysts ask Barack or Hillary. When it's just a question, Barack or Hillary, Barack wins consistently. And I would ask if there's some way we could get the general media to report what the question was, you know, on the poll.
Well, Steve, you're thinking too much. And I think you're also thinking alone. And that combination is deadly. Thank you. You make a very good point. Brad, you got 30 seconds. A final comment?
He's right. Thinking too much and thinking alone, that's my problem. hey, if you can't get out to the screening of Uncounted, if you haven't been given a DVD, if you don't want to go to uncountedthemovie.com and buy one, We will give you a signed edition, signed by the filmmaker, in our fundraiser over at bradblog.com. Come on by.
All right. Thank you, Brad. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, sir. You too.
All right. Talk to you soon. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Podcasts available.
Happy trails to you.
Just go to the link on the homepage at peterbcollins.com. My thanks to our producer, Katrina Rill, and Brian Urban, handling the telephones today.
To you. Keep smiling until then.
We're talking again with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, I just gave you a nice little chocolate raspberry treat. Can I drink wine and eat chocolate at the same time? Is there a rule against that? Is there a law in France that says I can't?
No, on the to the contrary. My girlfriends and I sometimes get together and have a treat of chocolate with one absolutely scrumptious wine that we have, which is called Cartagène, which is, again, something that people make in the south of France, pretty much for the family. It's a treat, and they pull it out when you go visit them. You know how farmers are and people are close to the land, and they pull out the thing that they've made and they've kept in their cellar, and the foie gras and the special sausage and all this, and they sit around and they share this little treat with them. It's like communion.
Find out more about organic wines at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. Order by phone toll-free at 888-ECO-WINE. Mention Peter B. Collins and see what happened.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Dueling campaign ads.
It's 3 a.m. and your children are safe and asleep. But there's a phone in the White House and it's ringing.
This Hillary Clinton spot running in Texas plays up her experience.
Your vote will decide who answers that call. Whether it's someone who already knows the world's leaders, knows the military, someone tested and ready to lead in a dangerous world.
Barack Obama is not about to take that lying down, even in the middle of the night.
It's 3 a.m. and your children are safe and asleep. But there's a phone ringing in the White House.
The Obama campaign quickly came out with a response ad emphasizing judgment over experience.
When that call gets answered, shouldn't the president be the one, the only one, who had judgment and courage to oppose the Iraq war from the start?
Obama accuses Clinton of trying to scare up votes with her ad. Republican John McCain is distancing himself from a supporter on the